Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lori London. Sitting beside the visiting president of Finland today, President Trump again lashed out at the whistleblower whose complaint led to an impeachment inquiry, as well as House Democrats. But his most aggressive remarks were aimed at House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff.
He should resign from office in disgrace. And frankly, they should look at him for treason because he is making up the words of the president of the United States. Not only words, but the meaning. And it's a disgrace. It should not be allowed to happen.
The impeachment inquiry centers on a phone call in which Trump repeatedly urges the leader of Ukraine to investigate Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden. In a news conference earlier today, Democrats said the impeachment inquiry will move deliberately and swiftly, and any attempts at stonewalling by the White House or anyone else will be considered obstruction. House Democrats are escalating their efforts to obtain documents from the White House as part of the inquiry. The chair of three congressional committees, or the chairmen of three congressional committees, are preparing a subpoena after weeks of what they say is flagrant disregard for their requests. NPR's Tim Mak reports.
The chairman said that they had tried several times and waited 3 weeks for the White House to respond to their request for documents. The committees are looking into the president's request for the Ukrainian government to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden. They are demanding records relating to President Trump's April and July conversations with the Ukrainian president, along with a list of 13 categories of documents. A memo prepared by the committee says that the White House's decision not to respond to their request has, quote, left us no choice but to issue this subpoena. The chairmen say that a subpoena will be issued on Friday. Tim Mak, NPR News, Washington.
U.S. stocks plunged for a second day today following a number of economic reports indicating fears of a global economic slowdown. As NPR's Alina Selyukh reports, the numbers follow recent reports that are adding to growing worldwide concerns of a global economic slowdown.
The latest data had to do with private sector hiring. Job gains at private firms were mediocre in September, and the estimate for hiring in August was revised downward. This followed a dire snapshot of factory activity that showed production in September slowing to its lowest level in a decade. All this is chipping away at the optimism about the strength of the U.S. economy, which had been propping up recent stock rallies. Next on tap are reports on broader measures of U.S. economic strength, a look at the services sector on Thursday, and the monthly jobs report Friday. Alina Selyukh, NPR News.
At the closing bell, the Dow down 492 points, the S&P fell 52, and the Nasdaq Composite down 123. This is NPR News.
And this is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. At least five people are dead in the crash of a World War II era plane at the Bradley International Airport near Hartford. According to the Associated Press, three crew and 10 passengers were on board the vintage bomber when it crashed into a maintenance building at the airport this morning. The plane belongs to a foundation based in Stowe, Mass. That offers public rides on vintage aircraft. The state is ordering Columbia Gas to perform new service line and property inspections. That's a result of last week's gas leaks in Lawrence that forced evacuations in that part of the city. The Department of Public Utilities says the leak happened because the utility didn't properly handle a gas main that it took out of service after last year's explosions in the Merrimack Valley. The department says Columbia Gas must inspect 700 homes and check 2,200 lines where there are abandoned service lines. The New England Patriots are putting place kicker Steven Gostkowski on the injured reserve list. The nature of his injury wasn't disclosed, but in last Sunday's game, Gostkowski was slow to get up after he made a tackle. He has missed more than a quarter of the extra points he has attempted this season. In the forecast, lots of showers off and on through the remainder of the afternoon, also this evening, and maybe some overnight tonight, too. Lots of clouds around, temperatures all the way to the 40s by tomorrow morning. And tomorrow, still overcast on the cool side in the mid-50s, damp early on Friday, then some sunshine later in the day Friday. Should be windy and cool again, only around 60 for a high. Should be in the 60 to 65 degree range over the weekend. 62 degrees now in Boston at 6 past 4.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Sunovion, with a vision for a healthier world, advanced through innovation that helps people living with serious medical conditions. Take on tomorrow. More at Sunovion.com. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the estate of Joan Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio.
This is 90.9 WBUR, All Things Considered, just a few minutes away. First, we want to hear from you as we go to one of those programs we know so many people listen to in the afternoon. You make it appointment listening, so make it an appointment to give right now as we wind down this fundraiser. 888-899-9287-WBUR.org. I'm Lisa Mullins in the studio with Amory Sievertson and Jay Clayton.
And you know, thousands of people are giving or have given over the past week or so to strengthen WBUR at a time when we know we're just going to be counting on independent journalism more and more as this impeachment inquiry unfolds. And we're going to be able to bring that to you, but we still need your support. Join the people that are giving, because we're not quite done yet. And you're running out of time to get involved in this fundraiser and do your part for all the journalism that you do count on. You get a chance to win a brand new Mercedes-Benz, the A-Class 220 4MATIC sedan, donated by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. We'd love for you to win that car, and you automatically get a chance when you give to WBUR right now. Just go to WBUR.org to make your contribution, or call 888-899-9287.
Thank you to the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers for contributing that car as an extra incentive to you to give right now. Thank you to everyone who's given thus far. But you listening out there who has yet to give, now is the moment for you. Now's the moment for you, because you're listening to WBUR through, you know, Radio Boston, All Things Considered, coming up right now. You care about these programs. You rely on them. And if you've been a listener of WBUR, frankly, it's time to promote yourself to being a contributing member of the station, someone who gives back and says, I value what I get from this, and then puts a dollar amount on it. Any amount. You don't need to give us a brand new Mercedes. The Boston area's Mercedes-Benz dealers already did that.
And they could give it to you.
They could give it to you. So just give what you can so you get in on that. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
We're down to $370,000 left to raise. It sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but we've had some very generous donors this afternoon. We hope we will through the rest of the day today. That's the only way we're going to be able to end this fundraiser with our goal having been met this time tomorrow, or a little bit beyond this time tomorrow. But the fact is, it's coming to an end. Please don't let it end without you. Call now. You can still call during the news. Make your pledge of support for what you listen to every day on WBUR. Put a dollar value on it. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
And keep in mind, if you're, you know, a little on the fence, not sure whether it really matters whether you give this time or not, we're asking only for the amount of money that we know we need to budget for the news that you're going to count on. So really, you're giving out of your own enlightened self-interest to make sure that the news coverage that you know you're going to count on hearing is here and it's fully funded. We're ending the fundraiser tomorrow. You're running out of time to join all the other people that are helping. We hope you will join them. 888-899-9287 is the number to call. Let me give you that again. 888-899-9287 and also WBUR.org. And don't forget, you are going to get a chance to win a brand new Mercedes-Benz when you donate this afternoon.
Woo. And you know what? It just feels good to give. It feels good to be a part of WBUR. Do it for that good feeling, that pick-me-up. Whether you're having a great day or a not-so-great day, this is going to turn it around and make you feel like, you know what? I did something that mattered today. 888-899-9287-WBUR.org.
We know it matters to you when you listen to WBUR and tell other people about the stories you heard, the information you learned. Now know that it'll make a difference when you give to us at 888-899-9287-WBUR.org.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Walden Local Meat, hand-picked and hand-delivered shares of grass-fed, pasture-raised meat from New England farms. You can learn more at waldenlocalmeat.com. And Boston University Academy, where high school students are challenged to think critically and explore the world of learning at Boston University. Open house November 3rd.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. President Trump has spent much of today attacking the Democrats leading the impeachment inquiry into his conduct. Now, the means differed. There was Twitter, there was a White House pool spray, and then this afternoon, a press conference with the president of Finland. But the message was the same, that Trump did nothing wrong, that the call at the center of the inquiry was, quote, perfect, and that House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff should be tried for treason. NPR's Franco Ordonez is at the White House. He is trying to keep track of all of this. Hi, Franco.
Hello.
So it's been a day.
It has
already.
Been a day.
With the president attacking both House Democrats, as I mentioned, also the whistleblower.
Yeah, I mean, the president is lashing out, and in many ways, he's lashing out, even by his own standards, a lot harsher than he has before. He's accusing Democrats of organizing a coup against him. He tweeted another supporter's comments about impeachment that could lead to civil war. And the president said whoever talked to the whistleblower is a spy, despite the intelligence community inspector general saying that he or she did everything properly and is acting in good faith.
All right. So where is this whole tit-for-tat between the White House and the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, the Congress stand? Because House Democrats have been threatening to subpoena the White House if it doesn't cooperate with requests for documents that they want. Did the president make clear whether or not he intends to cooperate?
Well, I mean, the president did make very clear that he's very angry about it. He tweeted out a profanity in all caps earlier about the investigation. He said BS, but he spelled it out.
Yeah.
But he did also say that he would cooperate with the House probe, even if he sounded unhappy about it. This is what he said.
We'll work together with Shifty Shift and Pelosi and all of them.
I think we should be clear. You know, he has said these things before about cooperating in regards to the Mueller investigation. At the same time, in that investigation, the administration instructed officials not to necessarily participate in some of the congressional investigations, which he called a witch hunt. And, you know, he clearly sees this as an extension of that investigation. And in that investigation, the report did raise questions about whether Trump may or may not have been obstructing justice.
Franco, a question has been whether Republicans will stand with the president as all this unfolds. How is language like the language he used today resonating among Republicans?
Well, there's no doubt that some Republicans feel that the rhetoric has gotten a little bit out of hand, but they do feel like the message is clear. I spoke with Republican strategist Alex Conant about this. Here's what he said.
I think that the White House is trying to paint the Democrats as overzealous partisans. I think some of the overtop rhetoric probably undermines that case, but I think the general strategy is the right one, which is that they want to make this into a partisan food fight.
You know, I just want to reemphasize that he is talking about shoring up Republican support.
Yeah, and as we hear from that Republican strategist, that there is a general strategy. Franco, is there? Is it clear that the White House has a strategy for how it's handling impeachment?
It's not so clear. I mean, there's certainly some holes that need to be filled. You know, but Trump is trying, as you know, Alex said, Trump is trying to keep Republicans in his camp. He's trying to make this a partisan battle. He does not necessarily want to change the minds of Democrats. But as you know, there are concerns that the White House is not ready, and that they need greater urgency, and that they're treating this more like a Mueller investigation than the Kavanaugh. And they need a Kavanaugh kind of strategy, which is much quicker, much faster. The time to fight is now, they say.
All right. That is NPR White House correspondent Franco Ordonez. Thank you, Franco.
Thank you.
That's the view from the White House. Let's now get a view from Capitol Hill. Republican Congressman Jim Banks is from Indiana's 3rd Congressional District. He's a member of the House Armed Services Committee, and he's with us now. Congressman, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Michelle. Good to be with you.
So you've been fairly vocal in saying you are opposed to impeachment, but do you even oppose the inquiry? You don't even want to investigate the matter, despite the fact that 7 of your colleagues with intelligence backgrounds think it should at least be investigated?
Well, at this point, it's unclear what process the Speaker of the House is leading us toward. There are 6 different committees who are taking up impeachment inquiry hearings. But at this point, we haven't gone through the process that impeachment is supposed to go through, which is for the Judiciary Committee to instruct articles of impeachment and pass it out of committee and allow every member on the floor of the House to vote on moving this forward. And the reason for that, Michelle, is because this process is entirely political. And today, just a few hours ago, we got a taste of of what I mean by that with the New York Times story coming out that all along Adam Schiff knew about the whistleblower. The whistleblower came to Chairman Schiff and to the Intelligence Committee, even though he lied about it and said that he'd never spoken directly to the whistleblower. We now know that he was part of orchestrating the whistleblower account to begin with, which shows you, and I think tells us why the American people are so worn out by this process, just as they were with the Mueller investigation, the Kavanaugh hearings. The American people have had enough. They want to speak for themselves on Election Day, not allow members of Congress overturn the will of the people through this process.
You don't see anything problematic with the underlying facts. The fact that, according to the unclassified transcript released by the White House, immediately after the Ukrainian president talks about buying more Javelin missiles, the president is asking Zelensky to do him a favor, though, his words, and then he turns the conversation to investigating former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. You have no problem with that.
Yeah, that is not an accurate description of the transcript. I've read the transcript. I've read the whistleblower account. And in neither one of those documents is there something that appears to be high crimes and misdemeanors, which is what the founding fathers created the impeachment process to account for to begin with. It should only be used in extraordinary circumstances to impeach a president for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well,
and I have yet to hear an account by any Democrat on Capitol Hill of where the high crimes and misdemeanors are found.
That would be an interpretation of those facts, though. Just let me be very clear. I'm just reading from the transcript. I have it in front of me, and my rendering of it is entirely accurate. What we're talking about here is what the interpretation should be of that, and isn't that what the inquiry is for?
Well, I would love to hear you read the part of the transcript that would indict the president of high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, it's not there, and that is my point. That let's allow the election to speak for itself. Allow the voting electorate of the American people to decide whether or not they like this president or whether or not they believe he's done something wrong along the way. And let's reserve the impeachment process for high crimes and misdemeanors. You won't find high crimes and misdemeanors in this transcript.
Setting aside the specifics of this investigation, I want to ask you more broadly about the role of Congress. I mean, the White House has repeatedly refused to cooperate with congressional oversight. Are you okay with that? I mean, do you feel that Congress has a role separate and apart from supporting the president of the same party as a certain members? Do you think you have an independent role here?
Well, just on your show a little bit ago, you quoted the president saying that he would cooperate. It's to be seen yet whether or not he won't cooperate with these hearings. So as I said a little bit ago, there are six different committees. Now, I scratch my head and wonder, of those six different committees, by the way, as I described before, the Judiciary Committee is the committee that has jurisdictions to pass articles of impeachment. But in this case, you have committees like the Financial Services Committee taking up the impeachment question. What in the world does the Financial Services Committee have to do with impeachment? That's because, again, this is all political. This is about Democrats that want to get in the evening news cycle and talk about impeachment and placate their left-wing base and diminish this president and cripple him going into the election.
We have just a couple seconds left, but before we let you go, can I just drill down on how the president is defending himself? He's been tweeting consistently. He's gone after the chair of the House Intelligence Committee using some profanity and some language, using nicknames. Is that the best way for him to make his case?
The president deserves the opportunity to defend himself. But what we just learned a few hours ago about Adam Schiff lying about not talking to the whistleblower when all along he was orchestrating the whistleblower account, that's very troubling to me, and that's why I signed, along with a number of my colleagues, a motion today to censure Adam Schiff for his behavior.
That's Indiana Republican Congressman Jim Banks. He's a Republican from Indiana. Mr. Banks, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. To a new scientific study that shows trouble ahead for the world's streams and rivers. That is because people are draining underground aquifers that provide water to those streams. NPR's Dan Charles has more.
Joshua Perkin is a biologist at Texas A&M University. He studies fish, and he's spent a lot of time around water on the high plains in Kansas and Colorado. He's noticed an odd thing there, streams and rivers that disappear.
We would go and visit these streams, and in many cases, it's like a dirt bike trail now. It's no longer functioning as a stream channel.
Those streams were partially fed by groundwater, water moving underground through rock and sand, draining into stream beds or bubbling up in natural springs. But people have been tapping those underground pools of water, drilling deep wells, mostly to irrigate farmland.
We're, growing crops in a region that's semi-arid and becoming increasingly arid. And the way that you continue to grow crops when there's no rain is to pull water from the ground.
Farmers have pumped so much water, the water table has fallen by more than 100 feet in some places. So it can't flow into streams and rivers anymore, which means that fish and plants and birds around those streams also disappear. It's happened in other places too, California, northern India, China. Hydrologist Inga de Graaf at the University of Freiburg in Germany wanted to see the whole global picture, today and in the future.
I think that's one of the goals that we have with this study, raising awareness to explain what is happening under our feet, so to say.
She and her colleagues created a computer simulation of groundwater and rivers all around the world. They threw in a heavy dose of climate change, an extreme scenario, lots of warming. In this computer model of the future, there's less rainfall. Farmers pump even more water to make up for that. So in places where farmers rely on groundwater, the water flow in streams and rivers in this model shrinks dramatically. In half of them, it falls below a kind of ecological limit.
Healthy ecosystems cannot be sustained. The plants and the fish that live in the river or the lakes, they will die.
Her paper appears this week in the journal Nature.
It's pretty alarming, but there's also things we can do about it to avoid it.
Slowing global warming, of course. Some places, like California, are starting to reduce the amount of groundwater that farmers are allowed to extract. Dan Charles, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by A Street Frames, archival standard picture framing for museums, galleries, artists, and the public, with locations in Boston and Cambridge, astreetframes.com. And AVFX, advanced audio, video, and lighting services for meeting planners, event producers, and trade show managers, avfx.com, our passion shows.
This is WBUR. The Dow has dropped more than 800 points in 2 days. Today it fell 495 points, or almost 2%, to close at 26,079. S&P plummeted more than 1.25%. It closed at 2,888. And the Nasdaq sank more than 1.5% to finish the day at 7,785. Details on Marketplace at 6:30. Let's get the forecast now with meteorologist Dave Epstein.
Scattered showers, even a downpour for the rest of the afternoon. Temperatures falling back to the 60s. Tonight, the showers come to an end. The first part of the evening really turns chilly by morning. We're down in the 40s. Tomorrow, a lot of clouds, mid-50s. Another round of showers Thursday night and early Friday, then partly sunny Friday afternoon, right around 60. Same thing for Saturday with sunshine near 60. And Sunday, mid-60s with sunshine, a bit breezy.
62 degrees now in Boston. In sports, Patriots place kicker Steven Gostkowski is out for the rest of the season. The team's all-time leading scorer will undergo hip surgery. The Pats have not announced who is going to replace him. This is 90.9 WBUR. It's 24 past 4.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from Indeed, with its skills tests, built for employers who want to see a deeper sense of the person behind the resume. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR. And Fidelity Investments, taking a personalized approach to helping clients grow, preserve, and manage their wealth. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
News stories from All Things Considered coming up in just a couple of minutes. First, we want to hear from you. We've got so many volunteers ready and waiting and eager to talk to you to help support WBUR. We know that you listen to WBUR and All Things Considered every day. We hope you will do this right now because this fundraiser is coming to a swift end. We don't want to end it without your contribution at WBUR.org or 888-899-9287. I'm Lisa Mullins in the studio with Amory Sievertson and Jay Clayton. And Jay, we've got something interesting going on now.
Yeah, we've also got some donors who want to add money on to your contribution to WBUR if you can give it to us really quickly this afternoon. This is a match that's going to add 50% to any amount that you give, whether it's $50, $500, $5,000, whatever you can chip in for the good of the news that you count on. And if you can do that right now and only for about 20 minutes, these donors are going to add 50% more on top of the money that you give to WBUR to help us give you the news that you listen to every day. Just go to WBUR.org to get in on this match. You can give there, WBUR.org. Or let me give you the phone number that you can call, 888-899-9287.
888-899-9287. And it's really an extraordinary thing when you think about it. This group of listeners that is stepping up and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to do my part, and my part is I can do a little bit more because I'm in a position to be able to do that. And they're doing that to help encourage you to give, but also to make sure that your money goes even further for WBUR. So this is a great time to give. I would say we can't end this fundraiser successfully without you, because this really is a team effort. It really does take our listeners out there saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to start contributing. I'm going to start, you know, being an active part of this community resource that gives, you know, the news and information and conversations like the one we just heard. You know, we just got a full range of everything from politics back to the environment. Like, WBUR is really keeping track of the news that we know matters to you and delivering it in a really thoughtful, thorough, analytical way. If that means something, donate right now when your money goes 50% further. $10 a month becomes $15 a month. $20 becomes, you know, $30 a month for WBUR. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
In fact, we know you appreciate what you hear because you listen to it, and we trust that your time is too valuable to listen to something that you're not getting something back from. So because you value WBUR, because you spend time with us, because you listen to us, and because you know that this is a nonprofit radio station, then right now, help us with the quality of the news that you get every day and rely on. Help us with your pledge, 888-899-9287-WBUR.org. Especially help us right now.
You can do that at WBUR.org, or you can call 888-899-9287, both to get in on the match and support WBUR and get yourself a chance to win a brand new Mercedes-Benz. And if you spend a lot of your listening time to WBUR, as your commuting time to and from work, you will love driving in this Mercedes-Benz. We took a ride with Brockton Payette. He is from Smith Motors in Haverhill, and he showed us some of the cool things you can do in this car just by saying, hey, Mercedes.
Once you say, hey, Mercedes, she'll answer you, and she'll say, how can I help you? And you can say, navigate to any specific destination, or I'm cold. She'll warm up the temperature. Heated seat on, you know, all sorts of neat stuff like that.
You are running out of time to get a chance to win this brand new Mercedes-Benz. It is the A-Class 220 Formatic sedan donated by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. You could win that car just by donating to WBUR. That's a possibility right now. And a guarantee is that your money that you give will be worth 50% more to help us bring you the news. That's a match on the table just for about 10 or 15 more minutes. So jump on it right now while you can. Add more to the money you give thanks to some matching money from other WBUR supporters who want to encourage you to join them in helping us bring you the news. Just go to WBUR.org or call the number 888-899-9287.
But we only have about 15 minutes left of that matching money, that 50% match. So it's crucial that you give right now if you want to get in on that. And we hope you do want to get in on that. Think of it as you are making yourself a VIP for WBUR. You are taking the listening habits that you already demonstrate day in and day out listening to WBUR. And you're saying, you know what? I'm going to be a hero for WBUR. I'm going to do a little bit more because anyone can just listen, but I want to help keep WBUR strong for everyone out there who really needs us as a community resource. With all of the news we have, you know, flying around these days, you want a resource that you know you can rely on to bring you the truth. And there's nothing that we hold above that here. 15 minutes left for that 50% match of your money. 888-899-9287-WBUR.org.
We so much appreciate the fact that you're a discriminating listener. How do we know that? We know because you have chosen to listen to a station that values integrity, values the truth, values the fact that we have editorial independence. And that's why we rely on you for our funding. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by SBLI. Founded by Justice Louis Brandeis in 1907, SBLI is committed to providing families with straightforward life insurance. SBLI.com. Cityside Subaru in Belmont with the all-new Subaru Crosstrek plug-in hybrid to gas up or plug in for modern adventures. Available now. CitysideSubaru.com. And Xfinity with an app that lets you pause your Wi-Fi for device-free family time. More at Xfinity.com.
Live from NPR News in Culver City, California, I'm Duane Brown. As the war of words between House Democrats and President Trump escalates, several witnesses are testifying behind closed doors this week in the wake of a whistleblower complaint accusing Trump of pressing the leader of Ukraine to investigate his Democratic political rival Joe Biden. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff is warning the White House against any attempt to stonewall the process.
If they are going to prevent witnesses from coming forward to testify on the allegations in the whistleblower complaint, that will create an adverse inference that those allegations are in fact correct.
President Trump calls the whistleblower a spy, but the intelligence community inspector general pushed back, calling the complaint both urgent and credible. The World Trade Organization has ruled in the U.S.'s favor in a long-running dispute with the European Union over tariffs. The trade group says the U.S. can levy $7.5 billion in duties on European exports, setting up the potential for escalating trade tensions, as we hear from NPR's Yuki Noguchi.
The Trump administration sought to impose tariffs on $7.5 billion worth of European goods in retaliation for what it calls illegal subsidies from the EU to Airbus. It's a major European rival to the U.S.-based Boeing. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer had promised to raise import fees on European products such as wine and cheese. Trump is also considering tariffs on European cars and auto parts worth $100 billion. If the trade wars over the aircraft makers continue to escalate, the impact on consumer prices and supply chains could affect a much larger swath of goods. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks finished lower across the board on Wall Street today. The Dow lost 494 points. The Nasdaq was down 123 points. S&P lost 52 points. This is NPR.
This is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. Investigators are trying to find out why a World War II bomber plane crashed at Bradley International Airport near Hartford today. A Connecticut state official tells the Associated Press five people were killed. 10 passengers and 3 crew were on board the plane. The B-17 is owned by a nonprofit based in Stowe that offers public flights on vintage planes. Kevin Dillon with the Connecticut Airport Authority says the plane appeared to have trouble gaining altitude shortly after it took off from the airport.
The aircraft attempted to return to the runway. It circled around the airport. But unfortunately, upon touchdown, the aircraft obviously lost control. Struck what's known as our de-icing facility here.
The plane's owners say the same craft was damaged in an air show crash 30 years ago. That crash injured 3 people. A second federal lawsuit has been filed challenging the state's ban on the sale of vaping products. A trade association for the vapor industry filed the latest suit. It alleges the ban will destroy the livelihoods of 2,500 workers. Governor Charlie Baker says the ban is needed so the state can investigate the cause of lung illnesses tied to vaping. The number of cases of mosquito-borne eastern equine encephalitis in Massachusetts is expanding. State officials say a horse in Spencer has become the 8th horse to become infected with a potentially fatal virus this year. There have been 12 human cases in the state. 35 communities are considered to be a critical risk until the first hard frost. Patriots place kicker Steven Gostkowski is out for the rest of the season. The team's all-time leading scorer will undergo hip surgery. ESPN reporter Mike Reese says this is the latest setback for Gostkowski.
Steven had been struggling a little bit this year with 4 misses on extra points, so he was in a little bit of a rut. The hope the team had was that he would be able to turn it around and show some of the form that helped him earn Pro Bowl berths in 2008, 2013, 2014, 2015.
The Patriots have not announced who is going to replace Gostkowski. It's 4:35.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the BSO, performing works by Sibelius, Elgar, and Nielsen, featuring cellist Truls Merk, October 10th to 12th at Symphony Hall. Tickets at bso.org. And Love is Calling at the ICA. Yayoi Kusama's Infinity Mirror Room offers endless reflections and the illusion of space. ICABoston.org.
More showers off and on, maybe a few downpours this afternoon and evening. Overnight tonight, some showers as well, falling all the way to the 40s by tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, still cloudy on the cool side, in the mid-50s tops. More damp weather early Friday, then some sunshine poking through. Should be windy and cool again, only around 60 degrees for a high. 62 degrees now in Boston. This is WBUR.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from the Ring Foundation, in support of NPR's continued mission to create a more informed public, one challenged and invigorated by a deeper understanding of events, ideas, and cultures. And American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is off the campaign trail. The Democratic presidential candidate had an unexpected heart procedure, this after experiencing what a senior advisor called chest discomfort at a campaign event yesterday. Now, Bernie Sanders' team says he will be canceling appearances until further notice. NPR's Daniel Kurtzleben is covering the 2020 campaign. She's in the studio now. Hey there.
Hey, Mary Louise.
So how serious is this? What else do we know?
We don't really know a lot more. We learned of this in a brief statement from campaign senior advisor Jeff Weaver. He said, as you mentioned in the intro there, that Sanders had felt some chest discomfort last night at a campaign event. And what they also told us is that Sanders had a blockage in one artery, two stents were inserted. His campaign has really not said a whole lot more than that, except that events will be canceled until further notice, but that the senator is, quote, in good spirits. He is resting up for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did talk to Stephen Nissen today. He's a cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic. He's not the doctor that worked on Sanders, but he just sort of told me what to expect in these cases, what the prognosis is. And pretty much what he told me is this. The way to look at it is that heart disease is indeed serious, but this is also a very routine procedure. Lots of people have them. It's not open heart surgery. Stents are often put in through the wrist these days. So yes, so it's not super invasive. And people can go back to work if they choose after this procedure in just a few days, even a couple of days.
I'm trying to think back to what I know about Bernie Sanders' health generally and his past health history. Has he had any kind of signs of heart trouble?
I mean, what we do know is that as of January 2016, when he was campaigning last time, his doctor wrote a letter, the campaign put it out, and the letter said that Sanders had no history of cardiovascular disease at that time. He also had a normal EKG. So right back then, he seemed healthy heart-wise. Now, people may remember recently he canceled some other events after that last debate. That was very minor. He was recovering from a hoarse voice, his campaign said. This is very different.
This, of course, prompts the big question of what this might mean for his campaign. Do we know?
I mean, of course, we don't know yet. But yes, you can imagine this could present some big challenges they have to deal with. I mean, one big thing, the most glaring thing everyone's talking about today, is that this could serve for some voters as a reminder of Bernie Sanders' age. He is 78. The campaign is ramping up. It's only going to intensify. Campaigning is really exhausting. And so this might not rattle the diehard Sanders fans out there, but there are voters who exist. I have talked to them. My colleagues have. Voters who are concerned about nominating or electing someone who is of advanced age. And, and so this could affect how those voters feel. And now let's keep in mind, of course, that two of Sanders' main rivals, Senator Elizabeth Warren, former Vice President Joe Biden, they're themselves in their 70s. Now, the additional challenge,
as is the president who they'd be running against, President Trump.
Yes. And, you know, the additional challenge is that Sanders is going to want to talk about other things. He just put up some great campaign finance numbers, a new income inequality tax plan. So the next debate, October 15th, that's what we're going to be looking at to see, you know, if he can look strong, remind people of how passionate he is. That's an opportunity to put all of this behind him.
That is NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Harvard Art Museums, open to everyone 7 days a week. Take a closer look. HarvardArtMuseums.org. DentaQuest, improving the oral health of all by increasing access, affordability, and awareness. That's Preventistry. More at Preventistry.org. And Artist Senior Living of Reading, personalized memory care. Learn more at theartistway.com/NPR.
This is 90.9 WBUR, back to All Things Considered in just a couple of minutes. First, here's the number, 888-899-9287-WBUR.org. The tendency is to talk really quickly because the fundraiser is rapidly coming to an end, and we wanted to include you. I'll give the number again a little more slowly, 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org. Jay Clayton, we've got some good news.
Yes, we do. The fundraiser wrapping up, as you said, Lisa, and the match wrapping up even more quickly. Just 5 minutes left for you to get a contribution to WBUR that will help us bring you the news. And another group of listeners is going to add 50% more money on top of whatever you give. So if you give us $100 to help us bring you all the news that you listen to, these listeners will make that $150 for WBUR to invest in the news coverage. If you give a $500 contribution, we get $750, combining your gift with the match money. And, you know, so on. 50% more on top of any amount that you can give right now would make a big difference in our ability to bring you the news that you know you're going to count on in the weeks and the months ahead. But just 5 more minutes to get in on this match. So go to WBUR.org, make your contribution there, WBUR.org, or you can call this phone number, 888-899-9287.
Just 3.5 minutes left. You don't have a single one of those to waste right now. And I'm really just thinking about how incredible this is, this 50% match. Imagine if this worked in another area of your life where you did a pile of work and someone else was like, you know what, I'll do 50% of what you just did on top of that. The world doesn't work that way unless it is a WBUR fundraiser and we have this generous group of listeners, as we do, offering to do just that. You give $100, they make it $150 for you without you having to give another penny, because they know that this is a team effort and they want you to be a part of that team. We need you to be a part of that team right now. Just 3 minutes left. 888-899-9287 or go to WBUR.org. A gift in any amount is going to go further just for the next three minutes left.
One of the stories we have coming up is a profile of Kurt Volker. You're going to be hearing a lot about this man because he is highly in demand by Democrats who want to hear from him. He is now at the center of the Ukrainian phone call, the phone call between President Trump and the President of Ukraine. Kurt Volker resigned last week as the Trump administration's envoy to Ukraine. This is one of the figures, the story is about one of the figures that's going to help you understand exactly what's going on in Washington, what's going on with the impeachment inquiry. And you know you value this kind of information, and that's why you're listening to us. And so we hope that right now you'll realize reports like this come at quite a cost, and we hope you'll pay for them. Pay for this one. I mean, put a dollar value on what you're about to hear or a story that you heard earlier today that you really appreciated. 888-899-9287, WBUR.org.
And now less than 2 minutes to get your contribution in when it will be worth 50% more to WBUR, thanks to some donors who stand ready to add that amount to your contribution, whatever it happens to be. If you give $100, we get $150. If you give $1,000, we get $1,500. If you give $10,000, if you have the means to do it, we know many don't, but some do, that would be that $10,000 gift you make would become $15,000 when the matching money is added on, money that we'll be able to invest in serving you and your community with the kind of news and information that you know you can rely on from WBUR. Last chance now, though, to get in on the match, and it is one of the last matching opportunities you're going to hear about in this fundraiser. So take advantage of it. Call 888-899-9287. That's 888-899-9287. 9287. And of course, you can give at WBUR.org.
Less than a minute left. Less than a minute right now to do something really meaningful with your money. You know, put your dollars where your ears are, where your heart is, where your mind is. You know you value WBUR. Less than a minute, 30 seconds now to have your money matched by 50%. 888-899-9287, WBUR.org. Don't miss out on this.
This fundraiser is ending tomorrow. Let's make sure that you're included in the WBUR team that keeps us strong, keeps us going, keeps us with a powerful voice for independent journalism. You are defending that with your pledge. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
WBUR supporters include Global Arts Live, performance that shapes our world, bringing international music, contemporary dance, and jazz to stages across the city. Tickets at globalartslive.org. Legal Seafood's 11th Annual Oyster Festival, now through October 9th, celebrating with a feature menu of all things oyster. Details at legalseafoods.com. And Innuendo, covering Metro Boston windows for 30 years, with shades, blinds, draperies, and more. Innuendo's design team in Natick and innuendo.com.
One of the diplomats at the center of the impeachment inquiry is set to appear tomorrow before the House committees investigating the whistleblower complaint. Kurt Volker was, until last week, the Trump administration's envoy to Ukraine. His job was to promote a peace process between Russia and Ukraine, but he also found himself helping Trump's lawyer on a quest to get Ukraine to dig up dirt on Trump's rivals. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
A former Foreign Service officer whose career focused on Europe, Kurt Volker was an ambassador to NATO at the end of the Bush administration. By the time Russia annexed Crimea and fomented an uprising in eastern Ukraine, Volker was running the McCain Institute and was critical of the Obama administration's approach. Here's how he put it in an interview in 2015 on the sidelines of a conference in Munich.
The most frequent phrase you hear out of mouths now is there is no military solution. And I think we just have to reject that. We are seeing a military solution play out before our eyes on the ground in Ukraine, and it happens to be one that we don't like. It's Putin's military solution.
Volker was brought into the State Department as special Ukraine envoy at a time when the upper diplomatic ranks were thinning, and he faced a daunting challenge with President Trump, according to Andrew Weiss of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
Donald Trump came into office with a very bad attitude about Ukraine. As a candidate, he repeatedly talked about how Crimea would have been happier being part of Russia and how basically, Ukraine was secondary to his all-important goal of resetting relations with the Kremlin.
Weiss says Volker came in against that backdrop.
And in a very bureaucratically nimble way, put U.S.-Ukraine relations on a track of continuity with what the previous administration had been doing, plus a couple of added incentives, including these much-talked-about shipments of anti-tank weapons from the Pentagon.
The job was a part-time one. Volker held on to positions at the McCain Institute and at a major lobbying firm with ties both to Ukraine and to defense contractors. Volker had to recuse himself from those deals as he made a big push to get defensive weapons to Ukraine.
In Ukraine's case, it is particularly important because it is under attack every day. And so it has a desperate need to strengthen these defensive capabilities and prevent any further loss of territory, hold the line, and hopefully create the conditions where peace can again be negotiated.
He was speaking there in May before President Trump temporarily delayed the military aid package. Lawmakers are now investigating whether Trump used that aid as leverage to pressure Ukraine to dig up dirt about former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. Volker's role in helping Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, make contacts with the new Ukrainian government is also under investigation. Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee who traveled to Ukraine recently, sees Volker as a patriot.
My esteem for Kurt, frankly, makes me even more disappointed that he has become part of this mess and perhaps facilitated the corruption of the State Department.
Volker resigned as special representative last week, and Murphy is calling on him to speak up now.
I'm glad that Kurt stepped down, and now he needs to, fess up to what he knows and what he did.
The whistleblower complaint says Volker was trying to help the incoming Ukrainian president navigate President Trump's demands. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told reporters today his department was carrying out U.S. foreign policy.
It's what our team, including Ambassador Volker, were focused on, was taking down the threat that Russia poses there in Ukraine. It was about helping the Ukrainians to get graft out and corruption outside of their government.
And he says that will continue despite what Pompeo calls, quote, all this noise. Kurt Volker has not commented publicly in weeks. His deposition Thursday will be behind closed doors. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Keep up with all the latest developments in the impeachment inquiry. Start your day with NPR's Morning News podcast, Up First. The day's top stories first thing in the morning. Look for Up First wherever you find your podcasts. You are listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. For a politician, going against the leader of one's own party can have grave political consequences. Here in the United States, some Republican lawmakers privately talk of opposing President Trump, but say they don't because they fear it could cost them their seats. Across the Atlantic, legislators in Britain's Conservative Party have been confronting similar fears. They opposed another populist politician, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and were expelled from their party. NPR's Frank Langfitt spoke with two party rebels about their decisions and what they've learned.
The Conservative Party has just held its annual convention here in this cavernous former rail station in Manchester. It's about a two-hour train ride north of London. But David Gawk, who served as the country's justice minister, wasn't invited. The party kicked him out last month. And that was after he and 20 other lawmakers voted to block Johnson from crashing the UK out of the European Union without a Brexit withdrawal agreement. At an event recently, just outside the convention's security perimeter, Gawk said he fought a no-deal Brexit in part because he knows that British businesses are going to be hurt by this.
You cannot prepare your way out of massive new tariffs if you are exporting agricultural produce. You cannot prepare your way out if you are a business, if you depend upon just-in-time supply chains.
Speaking to a packed room of disaffected party members, Gawk also deplored the Conservatives' lurch to the right and Boris Johnson's increasingly incendiary language, in which he accuses opponents of surrendering to Europe and betraying the Brexit vote.
The Conservative Party becomes a much more aggressive, much more confrontational, much more divisive party. We are no longer the party of Churchill. We are more the party of Trump.
Gawk is referring to strident Brexiteer rhetoric, which has instilled fear in opposition lawmakers. Afterwards, Gawk told me it was hard to sacrifice a career after nearly three decades in the Conservative Party, but he was at peace with his decision.
My fear was that I was going to be complicit in allowing something that would have been disastrous for the country. And I think I would have struggled in terms of, you know, reconciling my own sort of narrative, if you like, as why I went into politics, which I thought was about trying to do good for the country.
Alistair Bird is another Conservative lawmaker who defied Johnson and paid the price.
It felt very hard. And my wife and I have between us contributed 95 years to Conservative Party activism. I'm a Member of Parliament for 32 years. Our life has been bound up in this.
I asked Bert if he had thoughts about legislators on Capitol Hill facing a similar dilemma.
You've got to have something you're prepared to lose your seat for that matters to you. Because if you don't have that, you don't have anything you're really prepared to fight for. And I would say that to any elected official. You've got to know that there's something that you're prepared not to do. It took me 36 years, but I found it.
Of course, the stakes are higher here in the United Kingdom than they are in America. After all, at some point, President Trump will leave office. But Brexit could be forever, which is one reason why Bert opposed Boris Johnson. Bert won't seek re-election, and he's okay with that.
The burden of office is a phrase used because it is a burden. It's not an easy life. It's not easy choices. I don't regret my decision for a moment, and I'm looking forward to a new life where people will know what I've done.
Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Manchester.
Funding for WBUR Weather Reports comes from GEICO, offering the GEICO mobile app, which stores ID cards and enables bill pay and claim reports directly from your cell phone. Learn more at geico.com. Other supporters include Hebrew Senior Life, empowering seniors to reach their full potential through senior living, health care, aging research, and more. Learn more at allweareforyou.org.
This is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. The story, like the one you just heard from Frank Langford, talking about principle over party for politicians, that's the kind of story so many of you appreciate, that kind of perspective, and we hope right now you'll pay for it before we go back to news at the top of the hour. Our news headlines, 888-899-9287, WBUR.org, because this fundraiser is coming to an end. We don't want it to end without your pledge.
And we are counting on your contribution the way we've been able to count on thousands of other listeners stepping up during this fundraiser to put their money together to support WBUR. And we hope you'll join them right now, because when you think about how much you're going to count on WBUR, you also want to know that we've got the money in place that it's going to take to bring you all the stories that you're going to count on listening to. And it's listener support that makes it all happen. So you're running out of time to join everybody that's giving and already given. All you have to do is take a couple of minutes right now and go to WBUR.org. Really easy way to give there, WBUR.org. And you can also call the phone number if that's easier for you, 888-899-9287.
And we hope you want to support the organizations that you believe in, that are doing work that you value, that you want to see continue, and that quite possibly you really need in your life. With all of the news that is breaking and everything that's happening these days, you need a kind of news lifeline, something that you can turn to and say, I know that if I turn on WBUR, they're going to tell me exactly what I need to know. They're going to ask the questions that I wish I could ask, you know, people in power or people, you know, leading up these different organizations. WBUR does that work for you. And the programs that we bring you on NPR does that work for you. And if that's work that we know you consume because you're listening to it right now, if it's work that you appreciate, rely on, and want to see continue, you are a part of that equation. So do your part right now. Any dollar amount, 888-899-9287, WBUR.org.
And when you think about it, you wouldn't be listening, we don't think, if you didn't appreciate what you hear, if you didn't rely on it. Because you listen, you should be contributing to it, because you listen knowing that this is a non-commercial radio station that does not have commercials, does not have editorial constraints of a commercial station. And we think that's probably one of the reasons you do listen, because you appreciate it. Our editorial independence is in your hands. You protect it when you make a pledge. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org. We need to raise $360,000 by tomorrow, or I should say, because the fundraiser is ending tomorrow. We want to end it successfully. We want to have a strong radio station for you to listen to.
And when you give part of that as your contribution to help us bring you all the news you're going to count on, we are also going to give you a chance to win a brand new Mercedes-Benz. It's the A-Class 220 4MATIC sedan. It's a 2019 car, and we talked to Jeff Davis about it. He's with Mercedes-Benz of Boston. One of the things he pointed out is that this car looks big, is bigger than it really looks.
The car looks bigger than it is. It has a tremendous presence about it. It's very sporty looking, very cool looking. And the crazy thing is that you would think it would have this tiny little trunk, but it has a huge trunk. And it's really, really deep. And usually when you get into a car that's, you know, a smaller car, you have to give somewhere. And this car has a ton of room for the driver, really great backseat room, and you still have the ability to put all your suitcases in if you're traveling.
So it's a nice car to have. You can carry all your stuff. You can park it easily in the city. And you could win that brand new Mercedes-Benz that Jeff Davis was just talking about from WBUR. And it's courtesy of the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. We thank them for offering that. We would love for you to win it. And you could, if we hear from you right now, with your contribution to WBUR that will help us bring you the news. Wrapping up the fundraiser tomorrow, which means you're running out of time to help us bring you the news and pay for a little bit of what it costs to do that for you every day, just go to WBUR.org or call 888-899-9287. 9287.
And think about it this way. Everything that you're hearing right now on All Things Considered, other listeners, the contributions of other listeners made that possible. So pitch in right now. Make what you hear on All Things Considered tomorrow possible for yourself and for everyone in the community of WBUR listeners who relies on this as a resource. You're a part of this. So, you know, giving to WBUR, it's kind of like you're helping us to help you. Do this for yourself. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
Contribute $18 a month for the stories you know you'll want to hear about in the weeks and months ahead. Make a pledge at WBUR.org or call 888-899-9287. You can still call during the news. Thanks so much for your pledge.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from the law firm Cooley LLP. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Asia, Cooley advises entrepreneurs, investors, financial institutions, and established companies around the world where innovation meets the law. From Heather Sturt Haga and Paul G. Haga, supporting African Wildlife Foundation, working to ensure wildlife and wild lands thrive in modern Africa. Learn more at awf.org. And Visiting Angels, professional caregivers assisting adults at home in bathing, dressing, meals, and light housework nationwide. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Learn more at 1-800-365-4189.
You're listening to 90.9 WBUR FM Boston,
92.7 WBUA Tisbury,
89.1 WBUH Brewster.
Streaming at WBUR.org.
And live at City Space, Boston's new home for public conversation.
WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Congressional Democrats say they are proceeding deliberately in their impeachment inquiry into President Trump. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports several witnesses are testifying behind closed doors this week in the wake of a whistleblower complaint that accuses the president of pressing the leader of Ukraine to investigate his Democratic political rival, Joe Biden.
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff is warning the White House against any attempt to stonewall the inquiry.
We want to make it abundantly clear that any effort by the secretary, by the president, or anyone else to interfere with the Congress's ability to call before it relevant witnesses will be considered as evidence of obstruction of the lawful functions of Congress.
This comes a day after Secretary of State Mike Pompeo pushed back on Democratic efforts to take depositions from State Department officials accusing lawmakers of bullying and intimidation. The committees have also threatened to subpoena the White House if it does not comply with requests for documents by Friday. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump wasted little time in unleashing his fury on both Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff and House Democrats. Trump condemning the impeachment inquiry and warning he may be ready to file suits of his own in connection with the Russia probe and other matters.
I probably will be bringing a lot of litigation against a lot of people having to do with the corrupt investigation, having to do with the 2016 election.
And Trump accused House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of carrying out a vendetta against him and members of his administration.
Now look at Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi hands out subpoenas like, you know, she has to approve it. She hands out subpoenas like they're cookies.
Trump made his remarks during an appearance with the president of Finland, hours after House Democratic leaders warned the White House to expect subpoenas for documents. The deadline is up for candidates to qualify for the next Democratic presidential primary debate. As NPR's Don Gagne reports, 12 contenders have made the cut for the October 15th debate.
A dozen candidates have met the requirements in terms of both polling and having at least 130,000 individual donors. That means the stage for this coming debate will be a bit more crowded than the last one in September, when only 10 qualified. The additional two who will join in this time, neither of whom made the last debate, are billionaire businessman and activist Tom Steyer and Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. The debate will be held in Ohio, just outside Columbus. Despite the longer list of participants, it will take place on a single night. Don Gagne, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks again tumbled sharply today. All three of the major indices down. The Dow dropped 494 points. The NASDAQ fell 123 points today. The S&P 500 lost 52 points. This is NPR.
This is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. A World War II-era bomber plane that's connected to a foundation in Stowe, Mass., crashed in Connecticut today. A Connecticut state official tells the Associated Press five people were killed when the aircraft crashed a few minutes after takeoff at Bradley International Airport. The B-17 plane was operated by the Collings Foundation in Stowe. The Massachusetts House is developing what Speaker Robert DeLeo calls a comprehensive bill to regulate vaping products. DeLeo says he's not sure if the legislation will extend the Governor Baker's four-month ban of the sale of vaping products in the state. And one of the New England Patriots' best players is going to be out for the rest of the season. Today, the team put place kicker Steven Gostkowski on the injured reserve list. The team's all-time leading scorer will undergo hip surgery. In the forecast, look for gray weather continuing this afternoon, this evening, and overnight tonight. Random showers should be ending tonight, and then feeling pretty chilly down around the low 40s. Tomorrow should be heavy on the clouds once again, only rising to the mid-50s. Friday should start off with showers and then some sunshine breaking through later on. Windy and relatively cool, around 60 degrees tops. It is 60 right now in Boston at 5 past 5.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by a tribute to the Beatles' White Album, Mickey Dolenz, Christopher Cross, and Todd Rundgren, Saturday at the Cabot, and October 11th at Berkeley. Tickets at thecabot.org. And the Conrad N. Hilton Foundation, working to improve the lives of individuals living in poverty and experiencing disadvantage throughout the world. Learn more at hiltonfoundation.org.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. You believe fearless, independent journalism is essential to our democracy, and you think intelligent, measured conversation about important issues strengthens our community. So please, stand with WBUR by becoming a sustaining member right now. It's easy to set up an automatic monthly contribution, and when you do, you're saying WBUR adds value to your life, and you want to make sure it remains stable and strong. Stand with the facts. Stand with WBUR. Here's how.
Call this number now. We hope you will. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org. Stand with the facts. Stand with the news station that you've chosen to listen to spend time with every day. Stand behind the news that we deliver every day, 24/7. 888-899-9287, WBUR.org.
Again, 888-899-9287 is the number to call with your contribution, or you can get it to us at WBUR.org. Fact of the matter is you're running out of time because the fundraiser is going to be wrapping up tomorrow, so you are running out of time to join the thousands of people who are putting their money together to keep WBUR strong and editorially independent. That is possible because we are supported primarily by listeners like you. So join in. Make your contribution right now for all the news that you count on. Just go to WBUR.org. It'll take you 2 minutes to give there or on the phone. The number is 888, that's 888-899-9287.
WBUR adds value to your life, we just heard Jeremy Hobson say. And you know, we know that that's the truth for you. We know that WBUR is, sometimes it's just a source of entertainment. Sometimes it's what keeps you sane on your commute on the way home. But usually it's your key to understanding what is going on in the world, in Boston, in the country. We know that you rely on this as a resource. And it is hard, I will admit, it is hard when we say, what is that worth to you? Put a dollar amount on that. Because in many ways, WBUR is priceless. You can't imagine your life without it. So think about some of the other things that you make monthly contributions to, or that you spend your money on day in and day out. And think about the power that there is in how you spend your money, what you say with the dollars that you spend, where you put them, what that says about what these different things mean in your life. If WBUR means something to you, and we know that it does because you're listening right now, Pick an amount. You can always go up or down from there, but be a part of this right now. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
Going straight back to All Things Considered, and one of the stories you'll be hearing in the next few minutes, President Trump has accused Adam Schiff, a California Democrat, of treason And he's also accusing whoever gave information to the whistleblower of being a spy. NPR will take a look at the criminal definitions of these words. This is one of the many stories that we know you're interested in hearing because you listen to WBUR. You know you can count on quality news and information, whether it's breaking news, whether it's stand-back feature stories, interviews, long-form interviews. You appreciate that, and that's why you've chosen to listen to us out of all the other stations that are covering news today. Please put a dollar value on that right now because we still need to raise almost, $358,000. We've actually done very well this afternoon, so thank you to everybody who's contributed. But if you haven't, this fundraiser is ending tomorrow. We would like you to be included among the donors for this fund drive. So you name the amount that you'd like to pledge, 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
The reality of it is that WBUR doesn't have its editorial independence without the support of our listeners, people just like you. If we were funded wholly by the government, you can imagine the strings they would put on that funding. If we were wholly corporate funded, you can imagine what that would sound like. You'd never have as much news as you do because we'd always have to be stopped to play commercials. So it really does make a difference how we're funded. It really does make a difference that you share in the funding for WBUR with whatever amount you're comfortable giving. Maybe $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 all at once. Running out of time to get it to us? Just go to WBUR.org or call 888-899-9287.
What Jay says is true. Your contribution counts. 888-899-9287, WBUR.org. Thank you.
On a Wednesday, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Congress is in recess, but the impeachment inquiry into President Trump continues to move along. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff were on Capitol Hill today, where Schiff pushed back on President Trump's attacks on an unidentified whistleblower.
This is a blatant effort to intimidate witnesses. It's an incitement to violence.
Schiff says Congress will do everything in its power to protect the identity of the whistleblower who has not testified before Congress yet. NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis joins us now with the latest on the impeachment inquiry. Hi, Sue.
Hey, Michelle.
So congressional committees met today with the Inspector General for the State Department, Steve Linick. What can you tell us about the meeting?
The meeting was requested by the IG. Linick is an independent watchdog for the State Department. He does not report up to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. His office had contacted congressional committees a few days ago and requested a meeting on what they said was an urgent matter. It was a closed session, mostly involved staff, but one lawmaker, Democrat Jamie Raskin of Maryland, did attend. He came out and spoke to reporters. He said the meeting involved, and it was a bit of an unusual press conference, he said it involved documents that had been sent to Mike Pompeo that he characterized as involving propaganda and involving conspiracy theories. He ultimately said it does not fundamentally change the impeachment investigation. He disagreed that this was considered an urgent matter. Obviously, we're going to try and find out more about it. But in terms of this one lawmaker, he said nothing to see here.
Now, this comes as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is trying to block Congress from deposing some State Department officials. How confident is Schiff that his committee will get to hear from the people they need to hear from in this investigation?
He also met with reporters this morning. He's pretty clear-eyed that there's going to be some conflicts with the White House here. Things are escalating pretty quickly between Congress and the Trump administration. Pompeo confirmed today that he was one of the people on the July 25th phone call. He is facing a congressional subpoena on his own part where they want to see more documents from the State Department. Schiff and other chairmen also put out a letter today warning the White House that if they don't comply with another subpoena or with document requests, they'll face another subpoena on Friday. Schiff did indicate that this was actions alone that could factor into an impeachment investigation. This is what he told reporters.
Any action like that that forces us to litigate or have to consider litigation will be considered further evidence of obstruction of justice. And, of course, that was an article of impeachment against Nixon, the obstruction of the lawful functions of Congress, that is.
Schiff also reiterated that Congress wants to move fast here. He didn't put a timeline on it, but he said he doesn't want it to drag on for months. And he said that they would weigh that in considering whether or not to challenge this in courts or not.
And how are congressional Republicans responding to these latest turns in the investigation? You know, we heard from one Republican member earlier in the program, but what are you hearing?
I've been talking to a lot of congressional aides over the recess. Of course, a lot of lawmakers are back home with their constituents. And there is certainly a sense of relief among them that Congress is in recess right now so they can sort of think and regroup on the strategy. You know, on the whole, Republicans remain pretty behind the president. He's still wildly popular among Republican voters. And they also say that based on what they see now, they don't believe that a lot of Republican lawmakers would vote for impeachment. They just don't believe that what is known is considered an impeachable offense. The concern they have is that there is no real messaging strategy here. There is zero talks between Capitol Hill and the White House over how to confront the paths ahead. Multiple sources told me that they think there's going to be a real pressure test when lawmakers come back into town in about 2 weeks, because that's when lawmakers will be faced with sort of the day-to-day responding to the communication coming out of the White House. And as you've seen, it's been almost a fuselage of attacks from the president regarding the whistleblower against Adam Schiff. And lawmakers, specifically Republicans, are going to have to respond to that when they're back in Congress.
That is NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis. Thanks, Sue.
You're welcome.
As the impeachment inquiry has unfolded, President Trump has repeatedly raised the notion of treason. Here he is today at the White House speaking about Adam Schiff.
Frankly, they should look at him for treason because he is making up the words of the President of the United States. Not only words, but the meaning. And it's a disgrace. It should not be allowed to happen.
It's not the first time Trump has suggested someone investigating him has committed treason. Here he is in May responding to a reporter naming several former FBI officials.
Who specifically are you accusing of treason?
Well, I think a number of people. And I think what you look is that they have unsuccessfully tried to take down the wrong person. If you look at Comey, if you look at McCabe, if you look at probably people higher than that, if you look at Strzok, if you look at his lover, Lisa Page, his wonderful lover.
Now, treason is one of only three crimes defined outright in the text of the U.S. Constitution.
Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort.
That's Robert Litt. He was general counsel for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence in the Obama administration. The bottom line, he says, is that it has to involve rebellion or outside enemies. For that reason, there haven't been any treason prosecutions since the years around World War II.
There were some American citizens who adhered to the Nazis and spied within the United States and were convicted of treason. But, for example, the Rosenbergs, who stole the atomic bomb secrets and gave them to the Russians, were not tried with treason. They were tried for espionage because there was no enemy with whom we were at war at the time.
Even if the president were to order an investigation, Litt says, it's not likely to go very far.
The Attorney General and the Justice Department are still going to be bound by the statutory definitions. And I would not think that the Department of Justice would spend very much time investigating a member of Congress for treason because he makes statements that the president doesn't like.
That is Robert Litt, former general counsel in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence.
Zimbabwe is facing the worst economic crisis since 2008, when inflation got so bad it had to print trillion-dollar notes. Many thought after Robert Mugabe fell 2 years ago, things would get better. But they haven't. Nearly everyone is suffering. But recently, it's doctors who've taken to the streets in protest, NPR's Ada Peralta reports.
The doctors gather in front of one of the big public hospitals in Harare. Since the beginning of last month, junior doctors have not been showing up to work. Dr. Tapiwa Mungofa stands before his peers and says doctors are now being paid less than $100 a month. That's not enough to eat, not enough to pay rent.
We are not talking about clothes, we are not talking about buying cars, we are not talking about anything. Just to survive, just to be able to go to work, we couldn't afford.
The night before, the head of the doctors' union, Dr. Peter Magombeyi, a pediatrician who had led this strike, was abducted. The doctors had no doubt the government was to blame, so the fear is palpable.
We are now considering the workplace and even our homes unsafe for doctors. We don't know who is going to be taken next.
The doctors take off. They march around the hospital campus. But they never leave the gate, because that would mean facing off with security forces. Right now, it's not just doctors who are hurting. Zimbabwe's currency has tumbled, inflation is sky high, and the markets have lost trust in the government. Economist Tony Hawkins.
So you've got a sort of a vicious circle relationship, and the authorities are really at a loss to know what to do.
In real terms, the government has few dollars to pay for essentials. Gasoline to run generators, chemicals to treat water, money to pay teachers and doctors. For regular folk, the minimum wage keeps dropping. In just 1 week, it lost almost 40% of its value. They now make just $20 a month. One of the big problems is that Zimbabwe lacks the reserves to prop up its currency.
It's hard to see a way out of this unless there's some kind of international bailout.
And the international community has been waiting for real democratic changes in order to step in. The abduction of the doctor hasn't helped. But Sibusiso Moyo, the country's foreign minister, says they had nothing to do with it. Still, about 50 other government critics have been abducted in recent months. And several activists were criminally charged by the government after they were found. Is this not the way old Zimbabwe used to deal with its foes, I ask?
It's not easy to move from one regime into the next.
This is a new government, he says, that is, quote, decongesting minds and teaching people to unlearn the past.
And therefore, when you say it looks like because of certain issues, we may be the same like the previous, it is only because everybody is human. And the people are likely to fall into the previous.
The day after the first protest, doctors do leave the hospital. They walk onto the city streets, but they are stopped by police about a block from the presidential offices. Dr. Karongo, who only gives his first name because he fears retaliation, stands right in front of officers in full riot gear. The abduction, he says, made them push through their fear.
For this incident, everyone is prepared to come out and behead.
This time, it was hundreds of them. Senior doctors and nurses joined in. They sat at a major thoroughfare as workers gawked from buildings above. Dr. Tinga, who only gave her first name because of the same fears, says they were forced to the streets.
We are being forced to work in an environment where there's nothing to use in the hospital.
No pain medicine, no gloves, no needles. And some doctors have had to turn to farming to make a living. Dr. Tinga is having to take money from her parents abroad to make ends meet. I ask if she ever imagined herself on the streets of Harare facing off with riot police.
Never. I thought life was going to be really good once I was done with med school. I thought med school was the worst that my life was ever going to experience. So this is crazy, yeah.
Dr. Peter Bagombeyi was eventually found in a field far from Harare. He says he remembers being held in a basement and electrocuted. After initially being barred from leaving, he is now in South Africa getting medical treatment. Ada Peralta, NPR News, Harare.
And you are listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Bell's Brewery, makers of Two Hearted Ale, an IPA brewed with centennial hops. Local availability at bellsbeer.com, Inspired Brewing. And DentaQuest, improving the oral health of all by increasing access, affordability, and awareness. That's Preventistry. More at preventistry.org.
On Wall Street today, the Dow sank 495 points, or almost 2%, to close at 26,079. The Dow has dropped more than 800 points in 2 days. S&P plummeted more than 1.25%. It closed at 2,888. And the NASDAQ dropped more than 1.5%. It ended the day at 7,785. Details coming up at 6:30 on Marketplace. It's 23 past 5.
Funding for WBUR's Business Report comes from Vertex, a proud contributor of Massachusetts' innovation ecosystem. Fueled by the needs of patients, families, doctors, and nurses, Vertex invests in science to develop new medicines and strike at the core of serious diseases. Learn more at VRTX.com.
The damp forecast now from meteorologist Dave Epstein.
Certainly a change in air mass the next several hours as the cooler air continues to filter in from the north. These showers will be coming to an end by about 7 to 8 o'clock this evening. Then it turns really chilly by morning. We're down in the 40s. When you get up tomorrow, a lot of clouds. Those 40s will only go to the 50s. Friday, an early shower, then partly sunny near 60, so feeling milder. Saturday near 60 with sunshine, a gorgeous day. Sunday mostly sunny, mid-60s.
60 degrees now in the Boston area. This is 90.9 WBUR.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from Staples with print and marketing solutions for business, including manuals, signage, and banners. More at Staples stores or staples.com. Staples. And the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Those words, high-quality journalism, they are synonymous with WBUR, and we hope with you and your listening habits, because you do listen to us, you've chosen to listen to an independent radio station that has editorial independence because of your contributions. We don't have commercials. We do have you. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org is the phone number and the website for you to call and go to right now to keep us powerful, strong, and independent. We have on the table right now a match that you will want to take advantage of. Jay Clayton?
Yes, it is. It's going to add 50% more money on top of whatever you can give to WBUR. There's only one catch, and that is that you only have 21 minutes to get in on this match. So you give at WBUR.org or on the phone. I'll give you the number. It's 888-899-9287. You give on the phone or on the web, and as long as you do it in the next 21 minutes, other donors, members of our Morrow Society here at WBUR, are going to put 50% more money on top of your gift, no matter what the amount is. So that is a great way we can work together to make sure that we end this fundraiser with the money that it takes to bring you all the news you're going to count on. We are going to end the fundraiser tomorrow. Make sure we end it strong, meaning we have the money that it takes to bring you all the news you're going to count on, meaning we have your contribution joining the other listeners who are giving. Get in on the match right now at WBUR.org or the number you can call, 888-899-9287.
19 minutes left to go. 19 minutes to get in on that 50% match to make your dollars for WBUR go 50% further. And a great way to make sure that that 50% match carries us on throughout the year is to become a sustaining member of WBUR. Pledge to give a little bit of money every month to WBUR, whether it's $5 a month, $10, $20, whatever it is. If it's $20 a month, that's automatically going to become $30 a month with this 50% match only for the next 19 minutes that you can get in on that, though. So call 888-899-9287 or go to WBUR.org.
And it becomes $30 a month when you pledge $20, not because you have to pay anything extra, but because we have this generous match on the table right now, so you don't pay a penny more. Here's the time, this is the time, rather, to pledge. We hope you will right now. Here's the phone number, 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
And what you're paying for is all the news coverage that you count on, including, of course, the legal affairs coverage of NPR's Nina Totenberg. She joined us this morning on Morning Edition. We wanted to share a little bit of that with you, some words of encouragement for you to join the other people who are giving to WBUR right now. Go to WBUR.org or give us a call at 888-899-9287. Get in on the match for just about another 18 minutes and listen to Nina with her words of wisdom about why you should support WBUR.
So you're raising money, and I'm going to do that right now, and I'm going to do it in a rather serious way. I usually come on and I guilt trip everybody and I say that my late great mother, Melanie Totenberg, who sold a lot of houses to folks in Boston, would have said, if you listen and you don't give, you're a freeloader. But I'm going to not do that quite that way this time. You know, in the last few weeks, I lost my darling friend, and we all lost, Cokie Roberts, Cokie Roberts. And I go around these days because Cokie was the least selfish person, my most unselfish person I've ever known. And whenever I have a question, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I take a trip I really don't want to do because somebody needs me to do something? I think to myself, what would Cokie have done? And Cokie was so devoted to National Public Radio. She always was out on the hustings helping stations raise money. And she would have said, please, if you listen to this station and you get something from it on a daily basis, you probably get more than, let's say, a half a cup of coffee. And you can, if you can afford to give, please do give. It's time to step up. It's time to step up because of what WBUR does, especially in Boston, and what we do nationally, and we can't do it without your support.
Take Nina's advice, take Cokie Roberts' advice, and know that you are running out of time to give because we are running out of time in this fund drive. It ends tomorrow, and even more immediately, the match that is on the table to add 50% more money to whatever you can give to WBUR, that ends in about 15 minutes. So go to WBUR.org, get your gift to us there, or call 888-899-9287.
She said it really well, and quoting Cokie, if you can afford to give, please do give, and give whatever is good for your budget. We would so appreciate it if you'd make a statement to say, I stand behind this radio station, because you listen to it. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org. You can call us or go to news headlines now from National Public Radio. Let us know how much you appreciate what you listen to. Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Artist Senior Living of Reading, personalized memory care. Learn more at theartistway.com/NPR. The Advanced Heart Failure Program at Beth Israel Deaconess, personalized treatments and advanced technologies for all stages of heart failure. BIDMC is part of Beth Israel Lahey Health. And Live Nation, presenting the Avett Brothers at the DCU Center this Friday, October 4th. More information at livenation.com.
Live from NPR News in Culver City, California, I'm Dwayne Brown. A Taliban delegation is headed to the Pakistani capital to discuss the possibility of reviving negotiations with the U.S. The insurgents had been negotiating a deal to allow most American forces to withdraw from Afghanistan, but it was called off by President Trump. NPR's Dia Hadid reports from Kabul.
The most recent negotiations between the Taliban and the U.S. were about to be concluded in early September when the president abruptly canceled them on Twitter. Now, just over a month later, a delegation headed by the lead Taliban negotiator is expected to be in Islamabad. The Pakistani Foreign Ministry says they'll discuss the possibility of resuming talks. The Associated Press reports that the U.S. envoy for those talks, Zalmay Khalilzad, is also in Islamabad. An official told the AP that Khalilzad would not be discussing negotiations with the Taliban. Pakistan helped facilitate previous rounds and is considered to have sway over the Taliban. Dia Hadid, NPR News, Kabul.
Today marks 1 year since Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi was killed inside the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul. Friends and colleagues have made a memorial in the park across the street from the consulate. Khashoggi's fiance says Saudi Arabia must be held accountable. NPR's Peter Kenyon says she spoke today at a memorial ceremony.
Hatice Cengiz was waiting for Khashoggi outside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul when he was killed. She said she was broken by his murder, but still seeks justice. Saudi Arabia first denied Khashoggi was deliberately killed and later called it a rogue operation. The Turkish head of Reporters Without Borders says it's clear it was a planned killing.
NPR's Peter Kenyon. Stocks finished lower on Wall Street as concerns over a weakening global economy persist. It was the sharpest one-day sell-off in almost 6 weeks. The Dow lost 494 points, or nearly 2%. The tech-heavy Nasdaq was down 1.5%. This is NPR.
This is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. At least five people are dead, according to the Associated Press, after a World War II era B-17 bomber crashed shortly after it took off today at Bradley International Airport in Connecticut. There were 13 people on board, including three crew members. One person on the ground was injured. Connecticut U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal says tougher safeguards are needed, considering the age of the aircraft and its use for civilian flights.
They are done as part of tours and flown privately. There's a real need for scrutiny and oversight if these planes are going to continue to fly.
The aircraft is operated by the Collings Foundation based in Stowe, Mass. The foundation confirmed it's the same plane that crashed in 1987 at an air show near Pittsburgh. The town of Brookline has decided to continue its legal battle against firefighter Gerald Alston after a Superior Court judge ordered the town to reinstate him earlier this year. WBUR's Simone Rios reports.
Alston was subjected to racist language by a superior in the fire department, but the town decided to terminate his employment after officials say he made comments about shootings at work, then failed to comply with drug testing and therapy requirements. Select Board Chair Bernard Green says Brookline can't function as a municipality if it can't fire employees.
You know, he made shooting statements. I wasn't there. I don't know, you know, whether he was joking. But we don't take things like that as a joke.
Alston's attorney, Brooks Ames, says the decision to appeal is a total refutation of the belief that the town is willing to face its problems with race. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.
Patriots place kicker Steven Guskowski will have hip surgery and is done playing for the rest of the season. In last Sunday's game, Guskowski was slow to get up after making a tackle. He has missed more than a quarter of the extra points he's attempted so far this season. In the forecast, lots of gray today, this evening, overnight, tonight as well. Most of the showers should move out by the overnight hours. Mainly cloudy skies for tomorrow, should rise to the mid-50s. Then for Friday, should start off with showers, then sunshine breaking through finally. Should be windy, relatively cool, up around 60 tops on Friday. Then for the weekend, sunny both days, highs near 60 Saturday, rising to the mid-60s on Sunday. 60 degrees on the nose now in Boston at 5:35.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from T. Rowe Price, offering a strategic investing approach that examines investment opportunities firsthand. Institutions, advisors, employers, and individuals choose T. Rowe Price. T. Rowe Price. Invest with confidence. And Zoom. Zoom offers cloud video conferencing, online meetings, and a video conference room solution in one platform featuring digital video and audio with screen sharing. Account registration and more at zoom.us.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Michelle Martin. A month after Hurricane Dorian walloped the northern Bahamas, the recovery is slow and uneven. Abaco was hit the hardest, and there, heavy machinery is just now beginning to come in to help remove debris. There's still no electricity or running water in Abaco's main commercial town of Marsh Harbor, and stores there are still closed. NPR's Jason Bobian was on Abaco days after the storm hit, and he's returned to check in on the situation. He's with us now. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Michelle.
So as you make your way around Abaco, what are you seeing? What's changed in the last month?
Yeah, definitely a lot of the debris has been cleared off of the roads, so you can move around now. And, you know, aid groups are coming in, and they're starting to put up roofs on the buildings that are salvageable. But there are still vast areas that are just like wastelands, just debris or trees that have been stripped of all of their leaves. And there are some neighborhoods that are eerily quiet because there's no people around at all because so many people have left the island.
Mm. And what is the Bahamian government focused on right now?
So I would sort of sum it up as relief and rubble. On the one hand, they need to keep people alive who are here, and so there's efforts to make sure that people can get access to water, to food, to basic toilets, and then getting the rubble cleared away. I talked with Frankie Campbell. He's the Minister of Social Services and Urban Development for the Bahamas. He says there has been this outpouring of love and support from the international community. He says they've got plenty of food, water, and clothing that's arrived.
I can report that there's no one starving. There's no one dying of thirst. There's no one walking around naked. But we have a sense of urgency to get people into their homes or some form of housing that is airtight and watertight.
And the minister says that the next big steps are going to be clearing that debris, getting commerce going again, and rebuilding.
As per urgent need, building supplies, building materials, and persons who will help us build.
And he's saying that building may even be short-term housing. There's talk about building tent cities to house people in the coming months. They need people to have somewhere to stay as the entire place gets rebuilt. So when he says rebuilding, it might not just be houses. It might be some short-term form of housing.
So that's the view from the Bahamian government. What about the locals, whoever's still around? How are they coping?
You know, people went through an incredibly powerful, devastating storm that was incredibly traumatic. Many of their friends have lost. People are very stressed out. I talked with this one woman, Claire Zulia Michelle Frederick. She used to survive by renting 3 rooms in her house, but the roof has been ripped off of her house now, so she doesn't have any tenants, and there's like drywall has turned to wet mush all over her house, and the house is destroyed. But even after that, this is what she told me. You're planning to stay. You're going to stay here?
Yeah. I have nowhere to go. I stay there. That's why I try to cover the roof when the wind come in, to stop the wind coming inside this house.
She's in her 50s and says what she really needs is a man to rebuild her house. But in the meantime, she got her young nephew to get up on the roof, and he's been nailing up some tarps to try to fill some of the biggest openings and keep the water out.
Well, you know, I know it's a hard question, Jason, but do you have any sense of when things might improve, when things might really start to get better?
You know, it's going to be a while, but I did talk to this one guy. He's the sort of the main grocery store magnate. He lost 5 stores. He's planning to finally get a grocery store open. He says in 4 to 6 weeks, that's going to be a big step forward to actually be able to buy food. You know, there's something else going on, though. People keep mentioning it, that the greenery is starting to come back. You know, when a storm comes through with 220-mile-an-hour winds, it just devastates all the trees and everything looks dead. And the greenery has started to come back, and I think that is starting to give people hope that things will rebound. And so there's definitely that sense that things are going to improve, but how long it'll be, that's a hard one to answer.
That's NPR's Jason Beaubien in Marsh Harbor, Bahamas. Jason, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Funding for WBUR's healthcare reporting and the Common Health blog comes from Sanovion. Global biopharmaceutical company Sanovion has a vision for a healthier world advanced through innovation that helps people living with serious medical conditions. Take on tomorrow. Learn more at Sanovion.com.
Hey, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. When you support public media, you are supporting independent information. Might not always like it, but you'll know that it's delivered in your interest. The facts that citizens need so that we can do our jobs as citizens. Thanks for making WBUR possible.
Thanks for calling this number to make it possible, 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org. When we want to get to the heart of a story, we go there. You just heard Jason Beaubien do that when he reported on the 4 weeks since Hurricane Dorian pummeled and flooded and scoured the northern Bahamas, leaving behind one of the islands barely habitable, and hearing from one of the people who lives there. That's why it takes a lot of money to cover news. That's why we turn to you to help us cover it, because we don't have commercials. We are editorially independent. I'm Lisa Mullins. Jay Clayton, we have 5 minutes left in this match.
Yeah, we have 5 minutes left in this match, and it's one of the last matches that we'll have to be able to offer to you during this fundraiser. This from some members of our Morrow Society who are going to add 50% more money to whatever you're able to contribute to WBUR that will help us cover the cost of bringing you all the news that you know you're going to continue to listen to. So now is the time to join the thousands of people who have already done their part to support WBUR by doing your part to support WBUR and getting a 50% lift on your gift right now. $100 from you becomes $150 for the news you listen to. $1,000, if that's what you can do, becomes $1,500 for WBUR to bring you the news. Just give us a call with your contribution. You have to do it in the next 5 minutes. That's when this match ends, 5 minutes from now. So call 888-899-9287. That's 888-899-9287. And of course, you can also do this at WBUR.org.
But you have just 3 minutes left to do it, just 3 minutes left to get in on that 50% lift, as Jay said. And Jay, I like thinking about it that way because, you know, we have members of the Morrow Society that are here to lift your pledge up by 50%, help your dollars go 50% further than they would have otherwise. That gives WBUR, you know, a lift and makes it possible for us to do what we do here every day, as you just heard Steve Inskeep said. And then that comes back to you in the form of a little lift, because WBUR is here for you then, and we're strong as a resource for you, whether you're tuning in to find out what happened in the world today, or you just need a little company, you need a little sanity to get you through your evening commute, as you might right this very second. 2 minutes left now, just 2 minutes left to get that 50% lift, 50% more added to your contribution in whatever amount it may be. 888-899-9287, WBUR.org.
Three more minutes to go in order to get your donation in and have it matched under that special offer that we have going on right now. Just want to mention a couple names. You hear lots of names on the air every day of those of us who happen to work on the air. There are so many people, many more people who don't work on the air, who you are reaping the benefits of their incredible chops in terms of their talents, because they engineer everything. They have a hand in literally everything that happens on the air that you hear. People like Marquise Neal and Renee Marchando and Eddie Mazulis and Jimmy Kiesling, who is right now pushing the buttons behind
Yay,
what we
Jimmy.
Do. Yay, Jimmy. James Ross, Mike Toda, Mike Moschetto, Paul Kahlo, Mike Garth, Tim Skog, who am I forgetting? Matt Lizette, Max Liebman. All of these people, James Trout, sorry, James. All of these people, thank you so much for all that you do for us. And for those of you listening right now, this is when we say we have a huge team behind us. Every one of those people counts in terms of what we do on the air and what we do online. So this is part of where your money is going to help support the team that brings you what you listen to, what you read. 888-899-9287-WBUR.org.
Wrapping up the fund drive tomorrow night, but wrapping up this match that adds 50% more to your gift to WBUR in just about 60 seconds. So take a minute right now, as long as you're on the phone or making your contribution online, you begin it within the next 60 seconds, it's going to be worth 50% more to WBUR thanks to some members of our Morrow Society. Jump in on this. It's one of the last matching opportunities for the drive because the drive ends tomorrow. So go to WBUR.org, make your contribution there, WBUR.org, or call this telephone number, 888-899-9287.
Less than a minute left to get in on that. Less than a minute left to do your part to step up for WBUR and have it go 50% further. 888-899-9287, WBUR.org. Less than a minute. Don't miss it.
Please call as we go back to the news right now and know that this news comes thanks to you, thanks to those of you who make a pledge in whatever amount you think WBUR is worth to you. The fact is, you listen, you could be listening to a commercial station, but you're not. Why not? Put a dollar value on the reasons that you turn to WBUR, especially if you turn to us every day. Even if you are not a monogamous listener, if you have other places where you turn, still pledge. 888-899-9287-WBUR.org. Thank you.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly, and I'm about to take you inside an unusual museum. Unusual because most people will never see it. Normally, you need a top secret security clearance to get up here.
So we've just walked in, you've just pulled back the curtain, and what are we looking at?
The very first thing we see is the portrait and the story of John Jay, who we believe is the founding father of American counterintelligence.
And speaking there is the current head of American counterintelligence, Bill Evanina. He is showing me this big portrait of John Jay, who you may remember as the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. But did you know he also helped unravel a British plot to kidnap and kill George Washington? This is part of the Wall of Spies, an exhibit chronicling traitors and tradecraft. Evanina points to his personal favorite, an East German tooth.
A fake tooth. They could unscrew the top and hide microdots and film inside. Wow.
The Wall of Spies relaunched this week after a big renovation, a renovation to bring it up to date with the latest espionage cases. And you can't help but notice the most recent entries all have to do with China. We sat down with Bill Evanina in a conference room off the museum, which is at his offices, U.S. counterintelligence headquarters in the D.C. suburbs. As you're about to hear, we asked about the whistleblower and about Russia. But we started with China. I asked Evanina whether he ranks China the top intelligence threat facing the U.S.
Absolutely. And I would double down on that. I think from a perspective...
More so than Russia, which we seem to hear more about.
Not even close. Now, Russia is more tactical. They will spend their time and effort on onesie-twosie recruitments of humans.
Onesie-twosie recruitments.
Yeah. You know, ones that they'll work really hard to think they need to get an individual here or there strategically placed. Where the Chinese are more like a shop vac. They'll facilitate that nationwide. But they have resources that are ungodly. They have, you know... hundreds of thousands of people in the MSS that they could use, as
the
well
MSS
as
being
the
Chinese.
Ministry of State Security. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of their CIA and FBI together. Mm-hmm. And I think the Chinese are less worried about getting caught. The Russians are still traditional in their espionage mentality where they do not want to get caught. That's embarrassing for them. Whereas you see the Chinese, it happens almost on a daily basis. They'll just continue to deny. And for them, it's a lost leader or it's a loss that they really don't care about. It's a no-risk, high-reward concept of cyber espionage.
There have been a lot of these cases recently. In the last year, 3 former U.S. intelligence officers have either been convicted or have pleaded guilty to spying for China. Meanwhile, there's almost a dozen more cases of alleged Chinese economic espionage. Can you give me some sense of how many cases you're trying to keep track of out there that haven't yet come to the charging indictment phase?
Oh, there's a lot, right? And working
dozens?
With dozens? I'd say dozens, right? And I think it's a law of unintended consequences here. Yeah. We've gotten to our robust outreach with us and DHS and the FBI. The private sector to report more of this. Well, you report more of it, you have more cases. So we're trying to be more effective and efficient in identifying those companies who had the valuable assets the Chinese want, so we could help protect that from going outside our borders.
You're anticipating the next thing I was going to ask, which is, what does China want? It's research, development, corporate stuff. Also, just they want to get some insight into what decision makers here are thinking?
Well, yes, but 2 separate things. I think the insight, the plans, intentions of our leaders, for sure, and that's the traditional espionage. Yep. What is our mindset on energy, on trade, on our relationship with the Middle East? That's traditional espionage. But with respect to the tech companies, they want to know semiconductors, nanotechnology. They want green energy, biopharma. That's the leading-edge technology they plan to steal after we spent a decade researching and developing. So when we talk about approximately $400 billion a year in economic loss, that's what that is.
It's a big number.
That's a big number.
Question or two on Russia. The last time I interviewed you, you told me that there were give or take 100 Russian intelligence officers operating here on U.S. soil at any given time. Does that hold true?
It does not. So we were very successful subsequent to the mitigations in after the 2016 election and some of the actions.
Kicking out
All the intelligence officers.
And shutting their consulates.
Shutting their consulates, and we got rid of most of them. And we've seen a significant reduction in their intelligence collection here in the U.S. So the consulates were home base for that, and I think for the first time...
Not to get hung up on the numbers, but
sure.
Where would you put it now?
We were successful in getting approximately 70 kicked out.
I have to point out that they did the same thing. They kicked out a bunch of our people and shut our consulates. Has the U.S. also suffered in terms of trying to collect intelligence on the ground in Russia?
Great question, Mary Louise. And we have. But I think we knew, making this decision from a policy perspective, the White House knew that when we made a decision to we call PNG, all these Russian diplomats.
Persona non grata.
Right, that the Russians would retaliate. And we had to be able to be in a posture to facilitate working in a minimalist mentality in Moscow. And we were, for the first time, okay with doing that because we knew long term we had to equal the battlefield. Because I can tell you, we did not have anywhere near 100 diplomats in Moscow.
Are you using the term diplomats loosely?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. On that note, I have to ask you about the whistleblower and the story that's currently dominating Washington and the nation. Understanding there's much you can't comment on, are you comfortable with how things have unfolded these last couple of weeks?
I think it depends on where you sit.
From where you sit.
Yeah, from where I sit. I am, and I'll tell you why. In the intelligence community, we sit by the whistleblower protection. The legislation that was set forth is critical for us because we would prefer someone be a whistleblower in the venue that this current whistleblower did, then not give the classified information to the media or to a foreign entity.
If I hear you right, you're saying the process worked. Somebody who thought they saw behavior, I'm not asking you to characterize it, but thought they saw behavior that they were uncomfortable with or that crossed a line, that they were able to report it through the proper channels. It maybe took a little while, but it has reached the people it was intended to reach.
That would be correct. as a whistleblower fan, I think the process worked the right way.
Given that, can you speak to the delay that it took to reach the intelligence committees? The DNI knew about this for a while, and it wasn't reported.
Yeah, unfortunately, I would not have optic to that, which is a good reason, because I think the individuals that are in the center of that circle need to remain small and precise and to protect the whistleblower.
Acting DNI McGuire says he doesn't know who the whistleblower is. Do you?
I do not, and I don't expect to, and I think that's great that the DNI does not know that, because I think that's the one of the more fundamental parts of being a whistleblower is to avail yourself to that protective measure, and I think right now the process continues to work.
The president has called for he wants to know who the whistleblower is. You said you don't know, the DNI doesn't know. Should the president know?
Well, I think, in my opinion, the Whistleblower Protection Act is set forth to be able to protect that whistleblower from any reprisals or any kind of punishment that may come along. And I think this is a very unique situation, and I think it's going to have to play itself out. But I'm a traditionalist in this mindset that if you make the determination, a brave determination, to be a whistleblower against any kind of waste, fraud, and abuse, you deserve all the protections that are provided you in the legislation. So with respect to who needs to know that, I think that's for the attorneys involved. But for me, I think that if I was going to be a whistleblower, I would hope that my identity would be able to remain confidential to protect me as I go forward.
So bottom line, you would prefer for this whistleblower's identity to be protected and kept confidential?
If that's what's called for in the legislation, that's correct.
Director Evanina, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for that, attorney.
Bill Evanina, he's director of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by GEICO, protecting people and their vehicles for over 75 years. GEICO is proud to offer car insurance and more to Massachusetts drivers, too. Additional information at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is 90.9 WBUR. We are looking to hear your appreciation in the form of dollars for that interesting, really fascinating interview that Mary Louise Kelly just did with the head of U.S. counterintelligence, who talked about current espionage threats facing the U.S. and about whistleblower complaints against President Trump, complaint against President Trump, including how this country has a legal system that protects whistleblowers. Because you listen to stories that you hear on WBUR 24/7, because you have access to what's happening nationally, internationally, locally 24/7, we're hoping you'll pay for it now. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
888-899-9287 or WBUR.org. Two ways to get your contribution to us that we hope you'll make. Thousands of people are stepping up, working together, putting their money together to keep WBUR strong as we close out this fund drive, which we will do tomorrow. So you are running out of time to join them and help them and pay for a little bit of the news coverage that you know you're going to continue to depend on here on WBUR. If you consider WBUR an essential in your life, and we believe that's probably a fair assessment, then we think supporting WBUR should be an essential in your budget. You know, make it work the same way so that you know you're providing some of the money that is required to keep WBUR's editorial independence in place. And as thanks for doing that right now, we'll give you another essential, which is this really cool Eton radio that runs on its own power. You can crank it up. You can charge it up with solar power, so you'll always have access to a radio without batteries, or if there's a power outage, say that kind of an emergency, you will have a radio that will give you access to the vital information that you need. This radio is our thanks for your $10 a month contribution, and that, of course, is going to put vital information on the radio from WBUR. That's how we'll use that money. We've only got a couple hundred of these radios left, and not for nothing, but there are thousands of people listening right now to WBUR. So if you want to grab one of these as our thanks for your support, do it quickly, WBUR.org or 888-899-9287.
So not only is there no paywall to WBUR, right? You don't have to turn on the radio and pop a quarter in your radio to hear WBUR, but now you don't even need electricity to hear WBUR with this Eton radio for a contribution of $10 a month to WBUR. Lisa said something earlier. She said, you know, we don't have commercials, we have you. And that only works, of course, if we do have you. We need you right now. We need every everyone out there to help us chip away at this goal. We have $352,000 that we're trying to raise by the time the fundraiser ends tomorrow. We don't expect any one person to be able to get out a checkbook and write that check themselves. It takes everyone saying, hey, I can give this much. Okay, I can give this much. How much can you give? It's hard to put a dollar amount on it, but $10 a month, as Jay said, you're going to get that Eton Radio as our thanks. Maybe it's $20 a month. You know what's right for you. We just need you to be there right now. 888-899-9287, WBUR.org.
And if you think about WBUR, which has been growing and growing while most news outlets are cutting back desperately because of the cost of news, how has WBUR grown? We've done it with your contributions in the past. We've come this far. The only way we're going to get ahead and continue to grow is with your contribution right now.
888-899-9287 is the number you can call with your contribution. You can also get it to us at WBUR.org. And when you do either one, you're also going to get a chance to win a brand new Mercedes-Benz. It is the 2019 A2A Class 220 4MATIC sedan, donated by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. And we talked to Christopher Caputo. He is from Mercedes-Benz in Burlington. And he said this car has everything you will want as a consumer.
Today's consumer, I mean, they're looking for a bunch of things. And they're trying to, you know, their time they're spending in transportation, they're also trying to have it be productive for the rest of their day. So they want to be using gadgets. They want to be using their technology. And the A-Class is a perfect marriage for that. So what we want to be able to do is give something that's efficient. It's obviously safe. It's high quality. It's Mercedes-Benz. But at the same time, you have all your technology that you want in the car in a safe, seamless way.
Yeah, it's Christopher Caputo from Mercedes-Benz of Burlington. The Mercedes-Benz dealers in the Boston area giving away a A-Class 220 4MATIC sedan to a lucky WBUR listener. We'd love that to be you, and you're automatically getting that chance when you call right now and give or go online and give to support the news with a contribution at WBUR.org or 888-899-9287.
Thanks a lot.
Support for NPR comes from WBUR and from the law firm Cooley LLP. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Asia, Cooley advises entrepreneurs, investors, financial institutions, and established companies around the world where innovation meets the law. C3.ai. C3.ai's software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at C3.ai. And Mathnasium, committed to building math success, critical thinking, and problem-solving skills, teaching students face-to-face in more than 1,000 franchise locations. More at mathnasium.com.
You're listening to 90.9 WBUR FM Boston,
92.7 WBUA Tisbury,
89.1 WBUH Brewster,
streaming at WBUR.org,
and live at City Space, Boston's new home for public conversation.
WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Trump says he will cooperate with House Democrats who have threatened to subpoena him to get documents relating to their impeachment probe. NPR's Brian Naylor reports Trump spoke at a news conference with the president of Finland.
Three House committee chairmen have said they will subpoena the president if he doesn't turn over documents they requested last month relating to the president's phone call with his Ukrainian counterpart, in which Trump pushed for an investigation of Joe Biden and his son. Asked at the news conference if he will turn over the documents, the president seemed to indicate he would.
Well, I always cooperate. This is a hoax. This is the greatest hoax. This is just a continuation of what's been playing out, John, for the last since my election.
Trump criticized House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for, in his words, handing out subpoenas like they were cookies and called the impeachment investigation a fraudulent crime on the American people. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff are defending the impeachment inquiry process and efforts to protect the whistleblower at its center from possible retaliation. Congressman Schiff saying that Trump's repeated attacks and efforts to unmask the identity of the person won't affect the investigation.
The president can attack the whistleblower rhetorically all the president wants. It doesn't change the fact that the record of that call shows the president of the United States in a same conversation, indeed immediately after The Ukraine president asked for more military help. The president of the United States asked that leader a favor, though.
That favor being to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden. Democrats have said the pressure on the Ukrainian president constitutes an abuse of power worthy of impeachment scrutiny and have warned the White House to expect a subpoena. Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign's announced he's canceled campaign events until further notice because of a heart procedure he underwent last night. Here's NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben.
Campaign senior advisor Jeff Weaver said in a statement that Sanders felt chest discomfort during a campaign event Tuesday night. Testing showed that Sanders had a blockage in an artery and that two stents were inserted. The campaign said that he is in good spirits. The Sanders campaign has not provided more information at this time. The news comes as Sanders was preparing for campaign events in Nevada and less than 2 weeks ahead of the next Democratic debate. Currently, Sanders and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren are fighting hard for the progressive vote in the Democratic primaries. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
Former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for killing her unarmed neighbor after mistakenly entering his apartment and assuming he was an intruder. Her sentence decided by the same jury that convicted her of murder. Geiger fatally shot 26-year-old Botham John. On Wall Street today, stocks sharply lower. The Dow is down 494. This is NPR.
And this is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. At least seven people are dead after the crash of a World War II airplane at Bradley International Airport near Hartford today. That's according to the Associated Press. Three crew and 10 passengers were on board the bomber when it crashed into a maintenance building at the airport this morning. The B-17 belongs to a foundation based in Stowe, Mass., that offers public rides on vintage aircraft. A California man who admitted to threatening Boston Globe employees is going to prison for 4 months. Robert Chain was sentenced in Boston federal court this afternoon. Prosecutors say the threats were in retaliation for the newspaper's editorial response, rejecting political attacks against the media. And a lawyer who operated a sober house in Roxbury will serve 2.5 years in jail after pleading guilty to giving drugs to recovering addicts in exchange for sex. David Perry of Reading also admitted to offering cash, free legal representation, and free rent in exchange for sex. In the forecast, look for mainly cloudy skies this evening, feeling chilly down around the low 40s by tomorrow morning. Rain should end early tonight. Tomorrow should be heavy on the clouds once again, only rising to the mid-50s. Friday should start off with showers before some sunshine breaks through. Should be windy and relatively cool, up around 60 tops. Then for the weekend, sunny both days, highs near 60 Saturday, rising to the mid-60s on Sunday. 60 degrees now in Boston at 6:05.
Funding for WBUR weather reports comes from GEICO, offering the GEICO mobile app, which stores ID cards and enables bill pay and claim reports directly from your cell phone. Learn more at geico.com. Other supporters include the Ring Foundation in support of NPR's continued mission to create a more informed public, one challenged and invigorated by a deeper understanding of events, ideas, and cultures.
This is 90.9 WBUR. We just got an update now. $351,000 left to raise in this fund drive. It's ending tomorrow. We've done really well this afternoon. We've made somewhere around $50,000 in probably the past 3 hours, thanks to those of you who have called in. I don't think one particular person pledged $50,000. We would certainly love it if you did. But this is just to show you what your individual pledges amount to. So please, if you haven't called, do so now. 888-899-9287-WBUR.org. Call me before we go back to All Things Considered.
Yeah, and even if $50 is right for you, we appreciate that just as much. We know that what each person listening can give is different. It just depends on your, you know, what you're able to give. And all we ask is that you consider how important WBUR is to you. Consider how important your support is to keeping WBUR's editorial independence in place. And do what you can as we wrap up this fundraiser, as literally several thousand other people have done. Just contribute what you can for WBUR and all that you get back from us every day. Go to WBUR.org. Or call 888 1-800-899-9287. Fact of the matter is, we're ending the fund drive tomorrow, so you are running out of time to do your part.
You certainly are, but it is not too late right now. Join us right now. If you are listening at this very moment, and we know you are, now is the time. You know, you've waited long enough. I'm putting my foot down and saying it's time to get that feeling.
She's serious.
That's right. To get that feeling whenever you turn on WBUR. To have the satisfaction of knowing that the programs that you're listening to were made possible in part by you. You have done this. You can be a part of this right now. It really is a great feeling to step up for the organizations that you believe in, like WBUR, that give you so much back in return. Programs like All Things Considered that you're listening to right now. We've got Marketplace coming up in just about 22 minutes or so. You know what you come to WBUR for. Now ensure that every time you turn it on, you get that beaming great feeling of knowing, hey, I'm a contributing listener. I take an active role in ensuring WBUR's success and ability to be here for not just you, but your whole community. 888-899-9287 is the number. WBUR.org is the website, and the time is now.
The time is now, which is 6:08. We're going back to All Things Considered in just a couple of minutes, so we need to hear from you right now. Among the stories coming up, President Trump amps up his pushback against the Democratic-led impeachment inquiry. We know that that's just one of the many stories that you're going to hear that you appreciate on WBUR. So pledge your support for it. You name the amount. We don't. We can make suggestions, but really it's whatever you can afford. And please know that whatever it is, we appreciate it. 888-899-9287, WBUR.org.
And there's no mystery how that money is going to be spent. You're going to hear that just the way you're already hearing other listeners' support from prior fundraisers being spent bringing you the news you're listening to this afternoon. But we've got to fund the news you're going to continue to listen to, and that's why we're asking you to join everybody who's giving to this fundraiser as we begin to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up tomorrow, so take a moment right now. Think about what WBUR means to you. Think about what you can give, maybe $10, $15 a month, maybe $100 or a couple of $100 all at once is the way you want to do it. Anything you can contribute is going to go right to work to bring you the news, and it's why we need that support. We only need to raise in these fund drives the money that it takes to cover the costs of the news that you rely on hearing. So be a part of this right now, along with everybody else that's joining in. Just go to WBUR.org, make your contribution there, WBUR.org, or call 888-899-9287. And when you do that, not only will you be helping us bring you the news, you're also going to get a chance to win a brand new Mercedes-Benz from the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers.
That's right, a 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class 4MATIC sedan. I think you left out some snazzy words there, Jay. I got you covered.
That's sweet ride.
That's right, courtesy of the Boston area Mercedes dealers doing their part for WBUR. Now it's time for you to do yours.
That's 888-899-9287. Or WBUR.org. Listening is a priority for you, so make giving a priority as well. Again, 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org. You can still call during the news as we go back to All Things Considered. Do your part to keep us strong. Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Advanced Heart Failure Program at Beth Israel Deaconess. Personalized treatments and advanced technologies for all stages of heart failure. BIDMC is part of Beth Israel Lahey Health.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. President Trump has spent much of today attacking the Democrats leading the impeachment inquiry into his conduct. Now, the means differed. There was Twitter, there was a White House pool spray, and then this afternoon, a press conference with the president of Finland. But the message was the same, that Trump did nothing wrong, that the call at the center of the inquiry was, quote, perfect, and that House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff should be tried for treason. NPR's Franco Ordonez is at the White House. He is trying to keep track of all of this. Hi, Franco.
Hello.
So it's been a day.
It has
already.
Been a day.
With the president attacking both House Democrats, as I mentioned, also the whistleblower.
Yeah, I mean, the president is lashing out, and in many ways he's lashing out even by his own standards a lot harsher than he has before. He's accusing Democrats of organizing a coup against him. He tweeted another supporter's comments about impeachment that could lead to civil war. And the president said whoever talked to the whistleblower is a spy, despite the intelligence community inspector general saying that he or she did everything properly and is acting in good faith.
All right. So where is this whole tit-for-tat between the White House and the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, the Congress stand? Because House Democrats have been threatening to subpoena the White House if it doesn't cooperate with requests for documents that they want. Did the president make clear whether or not he intends to cooperate?
Well, I mean, the president did make very clear that he's very angry about it. He tweeted out a profanity in all caps earlier about the investigation. He said BS, but he spelled it out.
Yeah.
But he did also say that he would cooperate with the House probe, even if he sounded unhappy about it. This is what he said.
We'll work together with Shifty Shift and Pelosi and all of them.
I think we should be clear. You know, he has said these things before about cooperating in regards to the Mueller investigation. At the same time, in that investigation, the administration instructed officials not to necessarily participate in some of the congressional investigations, which he called a witch hunt. And, you know, he clearly sees this as an extension of that investigation. And in that investigation, the report did raise questions about whether Trump may or may not have been obstructing justice.
Franco, a question has been whether Republicans will stand with the president as all this unfolds. How is language like the language he used today resonating among Republicans?
Well, there's no doubt that some Republicans feel that the rhetoric has gotten a little bit out of hand, but they do feel like the message is clear. I spoke with Republican strategist Alex Conant about this. Here's what he said.
I think that the White House is trying to paint the Democrats as overzealous partisans. I think some of the overtop rhetoric probably undermines that case, but I think the general strategy is the right one, which is that they want to make this into a partisan food fight.
You know, I just want to reemphasize that he is talking about shoring up Republican support.
Yeah, and as we hear from that Republican strategist, that there is a general strategy. Franco, is there? Is it clear that the White House has a strategy for how it's handling impeachment?
It's not so clear. I mean, there's certainly some holes that need to be filled. You know, but Trump is trying, as you know, Alex said, Trump is trying to keep Republicans in his camp. He's trying to make this a partisan battle. He does not necessarily want to change the minds of Democrats. But as you know, there are concerns that the White House is not ready, and that they need greater urgency, and that they're treating this more like a Mueller investigation than the Kavanaugh, and they need a Kavanaugh kind of strategy, which is much quicker, much faster. The time to fight is now, they say.
All right. That is NPR White House correspondent Franco Ordonez. Thank you, Franco.
Thank you.
That's the view from the White House. Let's now get a view from Capitol Hill. Republican Congressman Jim Banks is from Indiana's 3rd Congressional District. He's a member of the House Armed Services Committee, and he is with us now. Congressman, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Michelle. Good to be with you.
So you've been fairly vocal in saying you are opposed to impeachment, but do you even oppose the inquiry? You don't even want to investigate the matter, despite the fact that 7 of your colleagues with intelligence backgrounds think it should at least be investigated?
Well, at this point, it's unclear what process the Speaker of the House is leading us toward. There are 6 different committees who are taking up impeachment inquiry hearings. But at this point, we haven't gone through the process that impeachment is supposed to go through, which is for the Judiciary Committee to instruct articles of impeachment and pass it out of committee and allow every member on the floor of the House to vote on moving this forward. And the reason for that, Michelle, is because this process is entirely political. And today, just a few hours ago, we got a taste of what I mean by that with the New York Times story coming out that all along, Adam Schiff knew about the whistleblower. The whistleblower came to Chairman Schiff and to the Intelligence Committee, even though he lied about it and said that he'd never spoken directly to the whistleblower. We now know that he was part of orchestrating the whistleblower account to begin with, which shows you, and I think tells us why the American people are so worn out by this process, just as they were with the Mueller investigation, the Kavanaugh hearings. The American people have had enough. They want to speak for themselves on Election Day, not allow members of Congress overturn the will of the people through this process.
You don't see anything problematic with the underlying facts. The fact that, according to the unclassified transcript released by the White House, immediately after the Ukrainian president talks about buying more Javelin missiles, the president is asking Zelensky to do him a favor, though, his words, and then he turns the conversation to investigating former Vice President Joe Biden and his son. You have no problem with that.
Yeah, that is not an accurate description of the transcript. I've read the transcript. I've read the whistleblower account. And in neither one of those documents is there something that appears to be high crimes and misdemeanors, which is what the founding fathers created the impeachment process to account for to begin with. It should only be used in extraordinary circumstances to impeach a president for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well,
and I have yet to hear an account by any Democrat on Capitol Hill of where the high crimes and misdemeanors
okay.
are found.
That would be an interpretation of those facts, though. Just let me be very clear. I'm just reading from the transcript. I have it in front of me, and my rendering of it is entirely accurate. What we're talking about here is what the interpretation should be of that, and isn't that what the inquiry is for?
Well, I would love to hear you read the part of the transcript that would indict the president of high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, it's not there.
Setting aside the specifics of this investigation, I want to ask you more broadly about the role of Congress. I mean, the White House has repeatedly refused to cooperate with congressional oversight. Are you okay with that? I mean, do you feel that Congress has a role separate and apart from supporting the president of the same party as a certain members? Do you think you have an independent role here?
Well, just on your show a little bit ago, you quoted the president saying that he would cooperate. It's to be seen yet whether or not he won't cooperate with these hearings. So as I said a little bit ago, there are six different committees. Now, I scratch my head and wonder, of those six different committees, by the way, as I described before, the Judiciary Committee is the committee that has jurisdictions to pass articles of impeachment. But in this case, you have committees like the Financial Services Committee taking up the impeachment question. What in the world does the Financial Services Committee have to do with impeachment? That's because, again, this is all political. This is about Democrats that want to get in the evening news cycle and talk about impeachment and placate their left-wing base and diminish this president and cripple him going into the election.
We have just a couple of seconds left, but before we let you go, can I just drill down on how the president is defending himself? He's been tweeting consistently. He's gone after the chair of the House Intelligence Committee using some profanity and some language, using nicknames. Is that the best way for him to make his case?
The president deserves the opportunity to defend himself. But what we just learned a few hours ago about Adam Schiff lying about not talking to the whistleblower when all along he was orchestrating the whistleblower account, that's very troubling to me. And that's why I signed, along with a number of my colleagues, okay, a motion today to censure Adam Schiff for his behavior.
That's Indiana Republican Congressman Jim Banks. He's a Republican from Indiana. Mr. Banks, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We feel we must note that Congressman Banks did not accurately describe the New York Times reporting about Congressman Schiff and the whistleblower's complaint. The Times quoted a spokesman for Congressman Schiff who said Schiff never saw any part of the complaint or knew precisely what the whistleblower would deliver. The aircraft maker Boeing may have rejected certain safety improvements when developing its 737 MAX jet because it wanted to cut costs. That allegation comes from a Boeing safety engineer. He filed a complaint internally earlier this year. The complaint has just come to light today as investigators try to get to the bottom of two crashes of 737 MAX jets in which hundreds of people died. NPR's David Shaper has this report.
The new allegation comes from a whistleblower inside the giant airplane manufacturer. A senior Boeing safety engineer filed an internal ethics complaint, according to reports of the Seattle Times and the New York Times. The complaint alleges that back in 2014, while the MAX was still under development, the engineer and his team proposed adding various safety upgrades. But management rejected them because of their cost and because they would increase the need for expensive pilot training. The engineer, 33-year-old Curtis Eubank, did not respond to NPR's requests for comment. But his complaint echoes those heard by the House Transportation Committee. Here's committee chairman Peter DeFazio.
We have seen similar concerns regarding the MAX expressed in other internal emails and also on our whistleblower line.
DeFazio says the complaint once again raises questions about Boeing's corporate culture and whether the company's efforts to boost profits by quickly developing the 737 MAX to compete with a new Airbus plane trumped internal quality and safety concerns. And the Oregon congressman wonders, where was the agency that's supposed to provide oversight?
The FAA is supposed to say, okay, yeah, we know you got commercial pressures, but by the way, we're in charge here, and you're just going to have to ignore those commercial pressures, and you're going to have to do things right. Now, how did the system fail in this case?
That's also the subject of a Department of Justice criminal investigation. The engineer's complaint suggests that adding one of the systems his team suggested might have prevented the two deadly crashes. That system, known as synthetic airspeed, was unrelated to the MCAS system, which investigators say forced the planes repeatedly into uncontrollable nosedives. But the safety upgrade may have prevented MCAS from engaging based on data from one faulty sensor. Captain Shem Malmquist, who flies Boeing 777s and teaches aviation safety at Florida Tech, says he's not surprised the system wasn't added to the 737 MAX.
Pilots are put in a position where they're expected to fix problems that are basically considered a rare event.
Malmquist says companies are always faced with a tricky balancing act when weighing the cost of adding even more safety systems to planes that are already highly automated.
I wouldn't call this a failure of Boeing. I would look at this as a failure of our entire safety system and how we're certifying not just aircraft, but any kind of advanced technology.
Unrelated to the whistleblower news about the MAX, the FAA today ordered new inspections on some previous versions of the 737, called the NG. Boeing recently notified the FAA of possible structural cracks on a handful of the planes. David Shaper, NPR News.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Global Arts Live, performance that shapes our world, bringing international music, contemporary dance, and jazz to stages across the city. Tickets at globalartslive.org. And Springwell, a nonprofit providing home-based solutions and services for aging adults, regardless of income level. Learn more at springwell.com.
The Dow has dropped more than 800 points in 2 days. Today, it sank 495 points, or almost 2%, to close at 26,079. S&P plummeted more than 1.25% today. It closed at 2,888. And the Nasdaq sank more than 1.5% to end the session at 77.85. Marketplace has details at 6:30. It's now 24 past 6. Let's get the forecast with Dave Epstein.
The showers, which have ushered in the cooler air, continue to push southward. They'll come to an end here in the next couple of hours. Temperatures tonight will fall down into the 40s. We were near 80 earlier today. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, only in the mid-50s, and then some more showers Thursday night and early Friday, but it becomes partly sunny during the day Friday. We're up near 60, a bit breezy. Saturday, gorgeous day, lots of sunshine, light winds near 60, and Sunday, mid-60s, lots of sunshine again.
In Boston now, 60 degrees at 25 past 6.
WBUR supporters include Gregorian Oriental rugs at the mill at Newton Lower Falls, hand-knotted rugs, tribal and village pieces, plus contemporary and custom carpets. GregorianRugs.com. Thompson Safaris, a family company bringing small groups and families to Africa for over 35 years, featured in Travel and Leisure and New York Times Travel. ThompsonSafaris.com. And Innuendo, with the Hunter Douglas Season of Style event featuring the PowerView Smart Motorization System. Hunter Douglas at Innuendo and Natick and Innuendo.com.
This is Bob Oakes. When you make supporting WBUR a priority, you're making the health of our democracy a priority. Here at WBUR, we bring you nonprofit, independent news that serves your interests, not the interests of corporate shareholders. We don't provide the news to make money. We raise money so we can provide the news. When you consider the mix of news and entertainment subscriptions you pay for, please put WBUR at the top of your list. Your monthly contribution will keep WBUR and NPR on the air, online, and available anytime. Think of us as the original streaming service before it was trendy. Here's how to join right now.
Before we go to Marketplace, join by calling 888-899-9287 or go to WBUR.org. I'm Lisa Mullins with Amory Sievertson and Jay Clayton. And Jay, I understand we have a new amount that we have to raise now.
Yes, $349,000 left. And keep in mind when you're, you know, maybe deciding whether to contribute part of that to help us bring you the news here on WBUR, that the money that we put into our goals is just the amount of money that it takes to bring you the news. We know that we're going to be investing in NPR News, sharing the cost of their reporting with the other public radio stations across the entire country. That's how that works. We have a local newsroom that you count on to keep you connected to your local community. We invest listener support in that. And so, you know, we know what the costs look like, and we just ask you to help us cover them. We're not making a profit. We're a nonprofit organization, but we do need to be able to cover the costs of the news that you know you're going to be listening for here on WBUR. When you help us do it right now, we will also give you a chance to win a brand new Mercedes-Benz, the A-Class 220 4MATIC sedan. This is a beautiful car, very safe and smart. It's provided by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. You could win that car, and you'll automatically get that chance when you support WBUR right now. Just go to WBUR.org. It'll take you 2 minutes to contribute there, WBUR.org, or call this telephone number, 888-899-9287.
That's right, 888-899-9287. Jay and Lisa, I was realizing just now, it's really hard to put into words how we do what we do here at WBUR. In fact, most people have no idea how the news is brought to them until sometimes our volunteers who are here taking your calls right now at 888-899-9287. Sometimes they'll take a tour around the station, and I'm constantly delighted by the surprise at seeing the number of reporters and the number of editors and engineers and all the people who are here at work bringing you everything that you hear on WBUR. And it's really easy to think that, you know, Lisa is here just by herself reading the news.
Doing all the work on my own.
But that is just not how it's done. I mean, this is a real team effort here. And you know, I'm glad that you get to, I'm glad that you have this as a resource. But we're only made possible by other people who have taken a minute to put a dollar amount to that, to say, hey, I want to be a part of this. I want to give back to that. I want to keep it strong. So call 888-899-9287 or go to WBUR.org and be a part of the team of people that supports us for the team of people that we have here supporting you with the news and information that you might not even really think about how it gets made, right?
It's true, and we don't ask for any more than what we need. I mean, we can't buy charter. It's a nonprofit radio station. That's why we ask you to appreciate the fact that we're frugal with your dollars. In fact, you know where your dollars go because you hear it every time you tune into 90.9. You see it every time you go to WBUR.org. So it's a really transparent transaction. We just hope that you will do your part to keep us strong, to keep us transparent and independent. 888-899-9287 or WBUR.org.
The reality is, though, that real journalism costs real money. That is why so many for-profit organizations have given up on it, because when you're trying to make a profit and you have a significant expense, that just doesn't work for a lot of shareholders. But when you have a nonprofit environment, you can make it work as long as we have the support of our listeners. And thousands have already given. You are running out of time to join them, and you could win a brand new Mercedes-Benz if you can do that right now. Make your contribution at WBUR.org or call 888-899-9287.
Thanks so much for calling.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by a tribute to the Beatles' White Album. Mickey Dolenz, Christopher Cross, and Todd Rundgren, Saturday at the Cabot, and October 11th at Berkeley. Tickets at thecabot.org. And GEICO, protecting people and their vehicles for over 75 years. GEICO is proud to offer car insurance and more to Massachusetts drivers, too. Additional information at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.